The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
What is that? Someone made a tape of something dying or something.
Turn that crap off! What's going on?
I want this music out of my head.
Hey, turn that off! Turn that off right now!
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
Well, Dak, here's the deal. I'm the best there is, plain and simple. I mean, I wake up in the morning, I piss excellence, and nobody can hang with my stuff. You know, I'm just a big, hairy American winning machine. If you ain't first, you're last.
Paul Perillo.
Shut up in here. I'm trying to sleep. One of you turds is about to get smacked.
Hey, stop yelling at me, okay?
And Andy. And Andy?
Hey, Ryder! Jarvis!
Please be 18.
Andy Hart.
We were shellbacks together, Andy! You got payback coming!
Eric Scalavino.
Remember that time we got kicked out of biology for playing with Matchbox cars?
Yeah!
Who's retarded now?
For now, anyway.
My husband Gregory and I wish only for that which every other couple wishes for. To tame Komodo dragons in Sri Lanka.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hakuna Matata, bitches.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. The gang's all here, and we're getting ready for the draft. This is actually our first normal PFW in Progress show before the draft, because Thursday night...
Our last.
My dyslexia again.
You're what? Say what now?
Replay that. Get that on loop. No, you didn't say dyslexia. Can you replay that?
That's what I heard.
No, because Paul and I were just talking about slip-ups.
The Cockle Gobbler.
Anyway.
Did you see that guy who got fired in North
Dakota? Oh, I know. That was terrible.
It's like his first
I don't want to get off the track. I'm
well, you're way off the track as it is.
I told Andy, I don't think he should have gotten fired. I think he clearly had a stroke.
I'm trying to give a little programming note.
Well, you're blowing it.
So this is our last regular PFW in Progress until a Thursday night. We'll be on at 8 o'clock and through the whole first round. So whenever that
And really our best shows.
Yeah.
That first round is probably our best show that we do. Aside from the occasional interview, but that is, whether it starts off with you dropping an F-bomb or me making fun of a Make-A-Wish kid or there will be radio gold somewhere in that three-plus hours.
The difference between me and the guy in, what, South Dakota? I don't get fired. After
right. Probably more people listening to us.
Yeah, that poor guy, that was all over the internet yesterday. All right, so draft. I guess this is going to be mostly a draft show, although there is news that kind of affects the Patriots. Darrell Revis traded to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That's official now.
Revis Island is now in Tampa Bay.
And do we know what the Jets got in terms of draft picks?
First round pick this year, and in all likelihood a third next year.
Conditional pick for 14.
But the condition is he has to be on the roster like March something next year.
Right. It's a huge deal.
Third day of the league year or something like that.
He's now the highest paid defensive back in the history of the
league.
Not really.
There's no guaranteed money.
No.
So you could write me a contract, cut me tomorrow, and for a day I would have been the highest paid defensive
back. But he does have leverage
because
of that contract.
What's the leverage?
The leverage is that they have to make decisions, on whether to keep
him. Every year, whether to cut him or keep him. Yeah. That's all I don't think he has any leverage at all. I think it's a terrible contract. I don't know why you would want – when you're that good, why you wouldn't want security. You have the leverage by being that good.
Do you think that he let his ego get in the way of
I think he's a bitch.
Yeah.
The whole way he's played through New York, holding them over a barrel and money, and now, Idzik asked him, do you want to be a Jet? And he responds, well, why would you ever ask me that question? Like, he just seems like I don't think I'd want to deal with him.
Well,
I don't think he's come off
from
well.
From day one, he's had this, issue with contracts.
So I'm all set with Darrell Revis. He's a great player, but like so many great players, he seems like he's a DB.
Okay.
Well, he is a DB.
Good point, Eric.
Actually, he's a CB, but.
Cockblock.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
You didn't need to turn in Thursday night. You got it. You got it.
Not what you said.
You're fired.
3 minutes into the
Fred's talking about
One word, you're talking about the other one.
It's always on our minds.
Anyway, his face is as red as your shirt right now.
And it's not even Thursday night.
No 5-hour energy yet?
Nothing.
In our defense, on the draft shows, generally we get a little bit punchy. You know, we're on the air for like 3 hours, then we go home and get like 2 hours sleep. We're on the air for another 3 hours.
Cock and tape.
That's just ridiculous. That's just poor to me. What you just did.
Oh, Lord Almighty.
So,
at least I was angry when I let mine go.
Oh, I'm never angry. Mine is always just.
You're always angry.
No, but whenever I slip up, it's always flipping. Like the stupid guy who went to his school, that's one of the distinguished alum, and I said, who the bleep is that?
John Kerry, our Secretary of State.
No, that wasn't him. Somebody further in. I'm not sure he's distinguished. He's an alum. But
Hobie Baker. You might have heard of an award named after him.
It was after him.
All right. Webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline.
Do you think the Jets, who won the trade? That seemed like it was a topic the last couple
days. Well, I think both did because, like you said,
it was a tie.
You think that the Tampa Bay did a favorable contract going forward, gives them all the power. And I think the Jets did what they wanted to do. They blew up their team.
I agree with you.
They're just waiting out Sanchez
before they
completely start over.
Tampa got the best you could possibly ask for out of a first-round pick. You got an elite player with no long-term financial hindrance.
Assuming the knee's good.
No, but even that. Okay, so you pay him $16 million this year, and then you cut him if he sucks. You know, whatever. So there's really nothing there. And the Jets, to me, when you trade a guy, if you get a first-round pick, you've kind of won. In this day and age, a first-round pick is, especially it's, what is it, 13, I believe? It's,
13.
I mean, it's a
so
high
have
first-round
nine and
pick.
13.
You win. You did, the guy wasn't going to be with you long-term. Whatever the personal is between Woody Johnson and Darrell Revis, clearly everyone says Woody was not re-signing. So you got a first-round pick plus something. I think both sides made out very well.
I agree. Now the question is, do the Jets use this on a quarterback? Do they move up and, you know, or do they take one at nine? Or
well, you won't have to move up probably.
Yeah, I don't think you have to move.
I wouldn't if I were them.
Because you're back where you started.
I don't think there's
you're taking a guy who's not an elite franchise quarterback.
I'm not sure there's a quarterback as good as Sanchez in this draft.
That's a bold statement, Paul. Let that one soak in for a while.
I think that quarterbacks in this draft stink.
I think they're all like Sanchez. I don't know who's better. They're all borderline starters.
I'm hearing things, though, if a guy's going to emerge that is this Tyler Bray guy.
He stinks.
He's terrible.
Wow.
He stinks.
Wow, Andy. Jeez.
He's horrific.
I think
you could have said about five guys there that I could have talked myself into, whether it's Smith, Barkley, Nassib, Tyler Wilson, out of Arkansas. There's a number.
Ryan Griffin.
Right.
But this Bray kid, they say
he stinks.
If you give him 3 years, he's going to be the best of this draft.
Well, who said that?
Well, that might be true, but me and Ian might still be right.
No, but who said this? Who's they?
Our lads.
Not necessarily our lads. No, it was
Jonathan, because your sources are Jonathan and our lads.
It might have been Gil Brandt.
Well, he's lost it then.
Listen.
He stinks.
Somebody is probably going to emerge and be a good quarterback in this draft. Because can you think of a draft that just didn't have anybody at that position that was at least serviceable? I mean,
I
think a lot of people are down on the quarterback. You know, Andy said Geno Smith. Geno Smith is a talented kid. The knocks on him are more intangible than anything else. I don't think he's as gifted athletically as some of the guys he's compared to. I don't think he's like as athletic as Cam Newton or RG3 and those guys.
No.
But he has physical skills, but he has problems with pressure. He has problems with reads. And you know, when you read the scouting reports and stuff, the one right there that Andy has, the Nolan Naraki, eviscerates him, you know, for all that kind of stuff.
Right.
So somebody's going to, you know, maybe he puts it together. Maybe he is in a system that hasn't really accentuated those kinds of things and hasn't forced him to do some things. Maybe he learns and maybe he puts it together. I doubt it. I watch these guys on tape and I don't see throws that, you know, you watched Robert Griffin last year. You watched Andrew Luck last year. Maybe it's unfair to compare him to two guys that, to me, I think you're going to be, there's a 30 for 30 coming on ESPN tonight about the 83 draft. Mm. In 25 years, you might have a 30 for 30 about these guys.
Right.
But it's
that's
not
how
unfair.
Special they are.
I mean,
but then
those guys are
near.
Starting quarterbacks.
They're not
so
anywhere
that's what
near
you
that
have
level.
To be compared to. Right? I mean, to compare them to Matt Moore is useless because that means you're just going to be a guy who'll start a couple games before the team realizes you suck and they don't have a quarterback.
But can they be compared to a guy like Joe Flacco?
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
they stink. And there might be, like, Geno Smith is very athletically gifted. So there's probably a good chance there'll be a couple game run where they play him and he puts up some numbers and you're like, wow, did you see that bomb? And wow, did you see that run? But I'm talking about a starting quarterback for an extended period of time that a team says, we have our starter. I'm not sure there is one in this draft.
All right, but the kind of the topic I really wanted to get into was less quarterback, and the Jets now is really the Jets. The Jets now are major players in the first round,
sure.
9 and 13.
Mm-hmm.
So do they use it to replenish what they lost with Revis? Do they go defensive back? Do they, you know, what are they going to do with these picks?
I think they should keep both picks and use them because they have positions of need that they can improve immediately. With both of those picks, they can get a guy to maybe not replace Revis, but at least replace his roster spot and probably compete for a starting job. And they could use, you know, maybe they get an impact receiver, maybe they get an impact defensive lineman. There are plenty of options there for them.
Do they buy into what all the scouts are saying, where this is, you know, there's a lot of value in the second round trade down, and just have a boatload of picks?
I was going to say,
not just this year, but next year.
That's what I was going to say. I would definitely consider trading down with one of those picks.
Okay, so then that leads me to next question. I heard today that like 10 of the teams want to trade down.
Right, so nobody can.
Right, so nobody's going to be able to.
Right, it's going to be hard to trade down.
You're not going to be able to find that many teams that are willing to move up. If it's as bad a talent pool as most people are saying, who's going to want to trade up?
Well, but I think there's a difference between trying to trade down from 9 or 13 and trading down from 29. I think late in the first round, after all that has kind of unfolded, either the teams were able to deal or they make their picks, you still get the chance at the end of the first round that player X has dropped. And some team that already picked goes, wow, I can double up in this draft and get this guy who I took at 17 and come back in. Or a team like the 49ers. What do they have, 14 now, 15, whatever their pick? That's a good football team. 15 rookies are not making that team. So why wouldn't you unload some draft picks and say, I can steal this guy at 29? I didn't think he'd be available at 29.
So do you think that if you went into 32 war rooms this year, this would be the most difference you would see on draft boards in a long time in terms of how players are rated?
Yeah, probably overall.
Vertically.
Yes.
Yeah. Vertically, Andy.
Yeah.
Yes, overall. I said to these guys, if we miss, and if a lot of people miss Jokel as the number one pick, I think there are going to be mock drafts that go over. That
zero.
Goes 0 for 32 in who you projected. I don't recall that really happening.
There's been years that we've corrected the mock draft contest. And by the way, if you haven't filled yours out yet, you know, you still have a couple of days. Get it done.
Patriots.com.
Patriots.com. There's been times when we correct those, and there's like a mindless 6, 7, 8, you know, most of the guys, boom, you know they have the first 5, 6, 7, 8 picks right. I'll be very surprised if we get more than, say, 20%.
It's another reason to do your mock draft today. Low score could win. You don't need to know anything.
Right.
You get a couple right, luckily, you might win.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think it's very, very unpredictable. And there's guys who, you know, is he a top 10 pick or is he the 40th pick in the draft? And I just think there's a lack of consensus across the board. I know my guy, Kevin Colbert, said they think there's 6 good players. You know, that's always one of those questions, see that cut off between really good players and – I think he said 6 that the Steelers have decided are very good football.
Do you see the thing? I guess there's annually when the Jets do their pre-draft press conference with whoever diagnoses, usually it's Tannenbaum. I'm not sure if Rex did it this year or the Idzik guy did it or who did it. But every year they open with the opening remarks and they explain how many prospects they've looked at. How many guys they have reports. It's like, you know, we've seen film of 2,000, whatever. We've done reports on 500 and whatever. And they give you the exact number of guys that they've actually either, and it runs the gamut from private workouts to pro days to just watching on tape
to
having
a
report on.
Look at us, we did a lot of work.
No, I just think it's interesting how, like, you know, the differences in what some of the teams do. I mean, it doesn't mean anything. They're not telling you who they looked at and why and who they liked or anything like that. They're just telling you, here's what we did.
All right. All right, so draft is, I assume, going to be the main topic of conversation today. There's still some lingering stories to do with last week's tragedy. The Patriots all went out on the field yesterday, and I don't know if you've seen that on social media, but we did the One Boston arrangement with all the people that were. I didn't realize how many people work here on a daily basis. There's a lot of people in this
building.
That's
because you never leave your office. You just sit in your little...
He has meetings all day long.
Yeah, he's in
meetings. But we did a moment of silence, and that was nice. It was a nice tribute to those who lost their lives and those who were injured during the Boston Marathon. But right now, joining us on PFW in Progress is Devin McCourty. Hey, Devin.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, no problem.
What you up to?
Nothing. Just working out, hanging out with the guys. It's always fun to be back around and having everyone around. So we've just been catching up and working out, trying to get better.
So you look forward to getting back. It's not like, oh, God, I got to get back.
No, I think I'm one of the fortunate guys that came in the league with the new CBA. So we get a nice little break. So when you come back, you feel like it's time to be back.
That's a good point because, you know, people look at it, you know, the hardcores, well, they're not here enough. But at the same time, you come back with maybe more refreshed and a better attitude.
Yeah, I don't think any players are ever going to complain about having too much time away. So,
but you start to miss it.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. You do. You need. And I think it's always good to come back and get in the structure and to be able to work out with your teammates, the guys you're going to take the field with the next season. I think all guys work out on their own back in, you know, whatever towns they're in. But it's good to be back working out with the guys.
So did you actually leave town at all, to go back to New Jersey or anything?
Yeah, I went back, and I also went to Nashville to visit my brother. Mm-hmm. So you get to do a lot of different things, and then you come back, and it's grinding time.
And you have your snappy McCourty Twins football camp T-shirt on. So
yeah.
Where are you and Jason? Where do you guys run the camp out of?
We actually have we're doing a camp this year, a football camp, on June 22nd in Nyack, New York. And then we're doing a 5K walk for sickle cell in Jersey City in New Jersey on June 9th. So we've been doing a lot and staying competitive with it. With our race, we're seeing who raises more money and whoever loses that bet.
I want to get into that 5K run, because I want to get the – tell people the whole thing about it, the competition.
Andy,
you're
going to run that?
Yeah.
That's nothing for you. Andy just ran the marathon, so that's nothing.
Oh, yeah, that's yeah. Nothing.
I wanted to get into that whole thing in a second, but I also want to get your reaction on the whole Darrell Revis deal. I mean, did that, you know, were you surprised by that at all?
I wouldn't say I was really surprised. You knew he was probably going to get a lot of money, and I think it's good for him. You know, he's a great player, and new star in Tampa, so when you see that news, you're just happy for a guy. And
happy that he's out of the division, right?
I don't play offense. So I know,
he doesn't shut me down.
Yeah, so, I mean, no, it's good for him, but, you know, I think most of our focus is what's going on here.
Now, will you be paying close attention to the draft? Because now an AFC East rival, they're big players. The Jets in the first round, they have picks at 9 and 13. As a result of this trade with Revis, are you going to be paying attention to the draft and seeing what they do with those picks?
No, not really. I mean, I don't, you know, pay too much attention to it. I watch it a little bit, hoping to see some of my guys from college get drafted and, you know, other guys I've met throughout this process. But it's always cool, you know, you really don't think about other teams. It's always cool, you know, from our standpoint, to see different guys we get to bring in. And, you know, it's like your new little brothers out of joining the family. So that's always cool to see.
There's an outside linebacker from Rutgers.
Yeah, Kasim Green?
Yeah, Kasim Green.
Yeah, he's projected in like the second round, I think.
Yeah. So
well, give us a little scouting
report.
There's
a handful of Rutgers guys. Is Green the one that
he's probably the highest rated guy, him and Logan Ryan in the corner. So
yeah, give me a scouting report on Green.
He's a playmaker, and you know, I enjoyed watching him. Just a guy that, you know, he won conference defensive player of the year back-to-back year. So he's a guy that you put him out there, he's going to make plays, interceptions, forced fumbles, fumble recoveries. He's made so many plays throughout his college career. I can't wait to see him in the NFL.
Do you think he can play outside linebacker or defensive end? Can he switch back and forth, do you think?
I think if someone put him to it, he probably could. I think if you watch him right now, I don't know if you would say that. I don't think he's played any defensive end, but he's been mostly a stand-up outside linebacker, so I think he's a guy that can do a lot of different things on the football field, though.
Yeah, he's been getting some good press.
And Logan Ryan was the guy who took over your spot over there, right?
Yeah, that guy's like my little brother. I remember when he came in, sat right by me in the meetings, and, you know, while I was there, just trying to teach him a bunch of different things that I've learned from older guys. And it's definitely cool to see him come up and, you know, being – talked about in, you know, first round, second round, and having a chance to live out his dream. He's a very hard worker, physical corner. So I wish him nothing but the best and can't wait to see where he goes.
All right.
How do you feel about kind of switching gears a little bit, just the Rutgers situation, you know, moving conferences and stuff. Have you thought about that at all? Is it kind of strange?
Well, no, I've been talking trash to every Big Ten guy in the locker room, so I can't wait till the move actually happens. I think it's 2014 where we start to play in those conference games, so I could talk trash to Zoltan and guys like Jake Ballard. So I can't wait. And I already told Tavon that Illinois has no chance. No chance.
All right, so tell me about this 5K run walk that you've got going on in New Jersey, because it's interesting. It's not just a check. You have a competition going on with your brother as a way to raise money. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it's cool. We're raising money for, you know, kids and that have the sickle cell disease to get better education to go on to college. So we thought it would be cool and a better way to actually raise money to have Team DMAC versus Team JMAC. So we're both trying to raise more money. If you go on TackleSickleCell.org.
TackleSickleCell.org.
Yeah, yep. You can join whichever team you would like. I'm sure that my team is going to kill his team, but we're making it a competition. Hopefully he does all right in it, but we're going to compete, and whoever loses is going to fly to that city. I shouldn't say whoever loses. When he loses, he's going to fly here, right. And he's going to dress
They don't have
up.
The internet in Tennessee.
Yeah, they don't have
you know,
money.
So
they
got a big advantage.
The internet?
They have country music there. he's going to fly here. He's going to dress up as Pat Patriot, and you can come
oh,
visit
God. Oh, that is nice.
Take a picture with him. He'll sign some autographs, so it should be cool.
Oh, all right. So everybody listening, you got to go to TackleSickleCell.org. Join Devin's team.
Yeah, Team DMAC.
Give some money and have him win so that Jason comes up here and makes a fool of himself.
And if you're in Jersey City in the area, you can join Team DMAC and you can come walk slash run with me. So I'm not just going to try to raise more money to him. I want to cross the finish line before him as well. So we want a total Team DMAC slash Patriots win on June 9th in Jersey City.
That's awesome.
This will definitely put you over the top.
Yeah, I mean,
we're international. Have a lot of listeners.
We do in
that tri-state area.
I think he's laughing at us.
No, I'm laughing because I think they only have the Nashville area. On their
like Chris
radio
said,
station.
I'm not even sure they have electricity. Never mind, never mind the internet.
Right.
So tell us what your day's like now in the off season. What are you doing? Is it mostly just working out? Are you watching film? What are you doing?
No, right now it's just mostly working out. And you know, one cool thing about how the off season's set up now, it just has different phases. You know, we come in now, we work out. We're together as a group. We talk a little football, just the players. So right now, I think it's big. You know, it's just the players, you know, working out together, doing different things together. And then I'm not sure what the date is, but then, you know, the phase two starts where the coaches are allowed to get more involved and where we'll start watching film together as a group, discussing things. And, you know, the coaches get to come on the field for whatever period of time.
Right.
So it's a good segue. And then we'll be into the off, OTAs where we're actually out there practicing against each other and really getting to, you know, develop as a defense and, you know, as an offense and as a team, really. So all this stuff with the different phases, I think, works well for a team.
So right now, Harold's kind of your coach, Harold Nash, right?
And Moses. So, yeah. And they're guys that they know the game of football. They don't just know weight. So we're able to do a lot of different things in our training to get us better as football players, not just stronger and faster.
I know with Coach Belichick, you never get really comfortable, but can you afford to let yourself say, I'm a safety now? Or do you always have to sort of wonder what Bill's got in store for you?
I think you hit it right on the head. I mean, just trying to be able to play anything they ask, you know, if it's corner, if it's safety. I've played both, so I can't come with that excuse. I don't know how to play that position. So now it's just staying open and being able to do both in a time like this where, you know, you're not really working on a certain position. You're just working out to, you know, get better at your different skill sets. It's a good time for me to, you know, just work out and do a bunch of different things. So whenever the time comes, whatever the position is, I'll be ready.
So when the season ends and you start thinking about the next season, are you one of those guys that say, you know, if there's one thing that I want to improve on for next season, it's this? Is there something there that, you know, you are setting your mind to, I want to get better at, you know, X this year?
Yeah, I think every player does that. You sit down and, you know, for us, we always go over with our coaches and to be able, and, you know, for me, every year, I wish it could only be one thing, but it's there's always a series and a group of things that you want to work on, and, you know, you put that in your head and you work towards those things. So
yeah.
I like to try to keep them private just so I don't throw out all my weaknesses.
Gotcha.
And physically you're feeling,
feeling good? Getting better each day. So an off season is a good time to really take it day by day and work out. And, you know, for me with my shoulder, just go in and rehab every day and try to get it better. So it's moving along and it's doing better, just trying to stay at that progress.
So schedule came out last week. Do you pay attention to now that you knew who you're going to play, but now you know the order. Do you look at that and start, okay, we got this team first, or do you not care?
You forget it. Yeah. I mean, I remember that we play certain teams, but I couldn't tell you the order of the team. So
too early.
And you know, since I've been here, we've always played a tough schedule. So it's not like we can go and circle four games where we feel like we have to come and play. It's always a tough schedule. So we know you got to be ready to go.
Okay. Yeah, but not the Jets, though. You know you can overlook that. I mean, you can be honest, which is just us.
That's always a heated rivalry. Last year, we went to overtime.
Have you been able to talk with Adrian Wilson at all? Have you had any communication with him?
Yeah, he's integrating in our system great, you know, as far as, you know, with the guys and that whole bonding. You know, it doesn't take much for our group to kind of get you going with us. I think it might have been the second day we nicknamed him the Incredible Hawk, given to him by Marquise Cole. So he's right along with us, laughing and joking. And I can't wait till we're all able to get out there on the field and really start putting it together.
Just with that dynamic in the secondary, last year at this time, you know, you think about from then to now, the way you finished the season, how much different it was. How much easier will it be to sort of go in? You know that you have 4, 5, 6 guys that were together that hadn't played. You have Aqib now, you know, starting the season instead of just finishing it. You have a guy like Steve Gregory who came as a free agent. You bring Adrian in, but you're here. Alfonso's here.
Arrington.
Kyle Arrington, who we had on the show last week, is back. Is that sort of comforting to know that you have a core group of secondary guys that – know how to play with each other? They've been together now for a little bit.
Yeah, it's great because now I think you come in with kind of a foundation already built. And now, you know, when we go out there and take the field, we're going to expect more of ourselves. The coach is going to expect more of us. So now we're actually starting from somewhere instead of, you know, like you said, last offseason where you got a lot of new moving pieces. And even with Aqib coming during the season, it was kind of like, you know, just get him out there and catch him up to as much as you can and, you know, make sure he knows enough to be able to be out there. And, you know, fortunate enough for us, he picked up a lot of stuff and was able to be out there playing. But now, you know, we're able to start with some type of foundation and just build. So I think it's on us to really take advantage of this opportunity. You know, it's there for us, but it's not going to kind of build itself. We have to really take advantage of it.
All right, Devin, I really appreciate you coming by, and I want to repeat, it's tacklesicklecell.org.
Yep.
That's how you get involved. You can also follow the whole thing at TackleSC.
Yep.
At TackleSC. And I will personally blame all the listeners on this show if Devin doesn't overwhelmingly win this thing.
Yeah, what's your punishment if God forbid?
I'm going to have to go to Nashville and dress up as this T-Rat guy. So
yeah, that can't happen.
But yeah, we don't want that. We don't want me to be down on Broadway dressed up as a T-Rat or whatever. Yeah.
Whatever that is.
Yeah, yeah, whatever that. We don't want
At least we know they don't even know what their mascot is. It's like this. All right, so Devin, thanks a lot. Good luck with your 5K run, and good luck with the off season, getting ready for the season.
Oh, thank you. Thank you guys for having me on today.
Thanks.
All right, Devin McCourty, let's take a break, and we'll be right back.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. Now's the time to take advantage of our low price value games. Whether it's the Boston Bruins, Boston Celtics, or Boston Red Sox, Ace has the ticket you need, starting at just $19. Ace always has the best seats at the best prices, and all our tickets come with a 200% money back guarantee. Ace has free and easy pickup by Fenway Park or across from the Garden. So treat yourself or someone special. Visit aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Like so many soldiers returning home from combat, adjusting to life as a civilian hasn't been easy for retired Army Staff Sergeant Ben Dellinger.
The hardest part was getting out. You don't lose your friends, but like basically all those people get taken away from you all at once. It felt like my life was over at times. Everything I thought I was totally different.
American heroes like Ben face many challenges when they return home. That's why, for more than 90 years, Bank of America has partnered with military organizations to support jobs, housing, and critical needs of veterans and their families. We're also committed to recruiting and hiring veterans, reservists, and military spouses. And for Ben, we partnered with Military Warrior Support Foundation to award his family a mortgage-free home.
This is something I never expected to happen, and I'm truly grateful to each and every person involved.
To find out more about Bank of America's efforts, visit bankofamerica.com/military support. 2013 Bank of America Corporation. Bank of America, N.A. member FDIC.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today. PFW in Progress, 508-298-0398, or web radio at patriots.com.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress. Again, thanks for Devin McCourty for stopping by. And again, that's tacklesicklecell.org. He can't lose that. We cannot have a Patriot going down and dressing as a Tennessee mascot, whatever the hell that mascot is. So,
yeah, I have no idea.
Yeah. So, but yeah, but he does have an advantage, right? I mean, in terms of people having access to the internet and.
Well, the Boston area is.
Yeah.
We're sort of famous/notorious for the online victories and these things.
For stuffing the ballot box.
Yeah, yeah, we're very good at getting like the fans' choice on the All-Star team baseball and.
Right.
We do very well in the fan voting and the Pro Bowl voting.
All right, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address.
Fred, you've had some issues with cutting down trees. How would you like to be those guys down in Auburn?
What happened there?
Well, they're cutting down, what are the, I don't know what they're called, those famous trees that guy killed.
Yeah, they have to take it down.
And they're doing it now, but in front of like a huge crowd watching, in the, like they're massive trees.
Oh, they have to cut them down?
Yeah,
well, that guy from Alabama poisoned them.
Oh, so they're dead.
Yeah. Well, they're going to be. They're going before they blow down or hurt some, and they're at a major
so
like,
you know what I would
intersection,
do?
Yeah.
I would have like somebody from Disney or something build like a replica tree and put it up. Even though it's fake, at least, you know, it's like a monument to the tree. No?
Mm.
Okay.
I'm guessing they'll just plant new trees and start have the same
have it all over again.
You could do that too. It is a renewable resource.
Won't be the same because they'll start out smaller.
Take a couple hundred years.
Although you could probably find, I mean, you see sometimes on the highway big trees going down the road on a tractor trailer truck. So
that's true.
But they TP them. It's their thing. And then the guy poured some sort of poison and then was dumb enough to brag about it.
And then
he got prosecuted.
I mean,
what a jerk thing to do. And then
though.
he felt had all kinds of remorse. Like, what did you think was going to happen?
Seriously.
It's like, I got the BB gun and I shot at the bird and then I cried when the bird died.
Yeah, but at least you were a kid, I assume.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Although,
you
know,
with him, you can't assume.
I had to make the qualifier, I assume.
All right, well, let's get to some emails.
It was 2 weeks ago.
At webradio@patriots.com. Daniel writes in, and he's from Germany. I'd love to see.
Guten Tag.
I would love.
Nein! Paul, you got anything?
Good day, no?
Yeah, I know.
Andy
doesn't want him to have a good day.
I have one phrase. Nein, sprechen Sie Deutsch.
I would love to see if we trade down with the first round selection to acquire a mid to late 2013 second rounder and an additional first or second rounder, something like New Orleans trade 2 years ago. That's not possible. Maybe a 2013 third rounder and a 2014 first rounder. If we use the selections, I would try to acquire a deep threat on the outside, someone that can catch a ball, not just some fast dude, a pass rusher, a corner, or a safety. I really don't care about the rest. Okay.
I think it's plausible. I mean, I do think with this unique draft with the quarterbacks, even Eddie Lacy, sort of like the Mark Ingram thing, some team, like if you're San Francisco and you chop off like two needs early in the draft for a team that has limited needs, I just think there's a chance that a team will say it's worth it. I have extra picks. I'd rather have this guy.
Your guy, Terrence Williams, our lads thinks he might be the best wide receiver coming out of the draft.
I got a lot of respect for our lads.
Oh, God.
Suddenly.
He's very good.
Yeah.
Tons of production, tons of big plays. 97 catches or something like that last. Man, that's a lot of catches.
And if you
sound like Captain Obvious here, but that's a lot of production.
If you go by PFW, the fake PFW, you know, the Pro Football League, they have a lot of guys sort of bunched up. You know, they give grades 6.15, 6.1, 6.05, 5.87, 5.75. There's no elite receivers, but they have a lot of guys bunched up, and that's when it gets into system and skills and needs and inside and outside and size.
Beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
None of these guys are. I just want to caution everything. As much as I want Terrence Williams, he's not A.J. Green. He's not Julio Jones. No. He's not Calvin Johnson. There is not one of those in this draft, in my opinion. A can't-miss elite superstar receiver. Some of these guys may end up being stars in the NFL, but they're not that yet.
Right.
And you got to pick the right one because in that group of 6 to 8 or whatever, there will be busts. There will be guys who, because they're dinks off the field, because they don't work, because they, you know, can't get off press cut, whatever, will bust. But there's going to be some that are really good. I happen to think Williams is going to be really good. And our lads is very smart.
And the reason I like Williams as much as Andy does is because it's not just like out of the spread. He's catching screens and you know, and like little short dumps. He can get down the field. It's not just, you know, and Baylor, you know, I don't know how sophisticated the offense is, but they've had guys that have been productive recently. Kendall Wright was a guy last year that we all really liked. He had a pretty solid rookie year with Tennessee. Obviously, RG3, it wasn't just about him. Maybe it's a system that is, you know, we always hear about Cal. And even Nick Caserio mentioned Jeff Tedford yesterday, who's no longer the coach there. But
he was so good, he's not a coach.
but ran a pro-style offense at Cal. We hear a lot about the passing concepts in that program. Well, maybe Baylor is one of these sort of under-the-radar kind of passing games that's a little bit more NFL-ready. That's the big knock, is it's hard to tell on receivers because you don't know. They're not ever facing press coverage. They're not facing a lot of the kinds of things that they see at the pro level. Maybe these Baylor guys are a little bit more ready. I like this guy, but Andy's right. There's no A.J. Green. There's no like guy that you look and you say, my God, he can't miss. That's why he's probably going to be available in the second round. If he was, you know, if he was A.J. Green, he'd be a top five pick.
Right. Harry in Maryland writes in. He says, I ask that you do not mention tweets during this year's draft coverage. It makes the show difficult to follow when you, the commissioner, and the tweets you mention on air are all out of sync. I believe that there is no value added to reading the tweets on air. Those that are following Twitter already have the information. Those that are not following do not want the information. You can retweet without mentioning them on air. Imagine if you were watching a Patriots game on a two-minute delay, but someone kept yelling through your window with live game updates. It wrecks the experience of watching events unfold sequentially. It's a good point.
Well, they're not going to do it anyway. NFL Network and ESPN have banned their people from tweeting this.
Well, it's not a ban. It's sort of a gentleman's agreement.
Yes, but...
And Schefter said, look, if it's really breaking news, I will tweet it. You know.
Right, but basically he's saying if it's a strange pick or a trade, that's a major move. Otherwise, if it's just a team picking, they're just not.
I have a feeling that that rule is going to be broken before the first half.
Oh, I'm sure, round is over. But Harry makes a good point, though. I mean, because we are on it, and it can be as much as a 2-minute delay for some people, depending.
Well, no, he's saying the TV is delayed. He's saying we're giving him the information before the TV.
On Twitter, right?
No, on the radio show.
Oh, mentioning the tweets.
We're mentioning the tweets on the radio, and there's a delay.
I understand what Harry is saying, but I think it's hard to, if we have information, to not share it. Now,
and
we're
that's
not,
Schefter's argument.
We're not breaking it, but, I mean, how can the four of us sit here and sort of contemplate what the pick is going to be when, say, Andy knows what the pick is
going to be? Gee, I wonder what they're going to pick.
You know what I'm saying?
Wink, wink.
Not reporting anything, but I bet there's a good chance they pick Dayton Jones here.
I understand what
that's
Harry's saying, but I
too bad.
I don't see why. Well, I mean, we don't have to be heartless about it, but, you know.
Eric alienating another listener.
Yeah, I mean.
Too bad.
I'm not exactly sure what we're trying to
provide. Adam Schefter doesn't care. Sorry, Paul.
Who are you yelling at? I just don't know exactly what we're supposed to do if we have information. Now, hopefully, the tweets won't be as prevalent this year. We won't have the problem.
Yeah, I think that'll be the case.
And, you know, we were talking, Andy and I were talking about it yesterday, and, you know, that's kind of the conclusion we came to is maybe we just won't know that Dayton Jones just got picked as often as we did last year. But if you're listening to us and you're watching TV, I'm not sure exactly. I don't get the analogy of watching a game and finding out what you're listening to a draft show
to try to
and
get information.
You're watching a draft show. What's the difference when you hear the information? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not watching a game and you haven't seen it yet. Yeah. If we're telling you who the pick was, it's happened. It's not the same as I don't know what happened in the game.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Right.
It's not the same thing. It's not. You don't have to see the guy get also, his name called to have it be. I have to see Tom Brady throw a pass. Sure, that would spoil it if I know Tom Brady's throwing a pass for a touchdown in this play. It's not the same thing.
Yeah, the point of a game is to watch the drama unfold. The point of watching a draft is to get the information as soon as possible.
I want to see who makes the picks.
As soon as possible.
You know, who gets picked.
Right. So whoever has the information first, you should be listening to.
But we'll definitely do our best not to do that, and I think Andy's right. I don't think there's going to be very many
Eric picks
out there.
Who brought the a-hole?
There's information, you share it, period. End of story.
I kind of think that's
our
job.
He's gearing up for Thursday night. He's
fighting 2 days early.
And by the way, a lot of our listeners get this information before we do because they're on Twitter, and we're trying to talk, and you can't, you know, do three things at once. You know, you're reading the emails. You're taking the calls, Fred. You know, Andy might be making a point about Terrence Williams because God knows he hasn't talked about him in the last 30 seconds.
Right.
And maybe Eric is on Twitter, you know, but someone else might – get that before we do, you know, strippers, for example. You know, these guys are, you know, it's hard to keep all that stuff from getting out. Let's put it that way.
Quick, since we're doing like family business today with the McCourty brothers, apparently John Bones Jones is fighting this Saturday night, obviously Chandler's brother, for the light heavyweight title on USC.
Well, there he is on the
1 million something, I don't know, 169 or something. But if you're interested, John Bones Jones.
How much does he make if he wins?
Yeah.
What's the purse?
Yeah.
You don't know?
Well, there's some unique... I mean, he's a headliner, so he obviously makes a lot of money, but one of the things that's unique about UFC is they have, like, day of prizes that Dana White like hands out afterwards, like the knockout of the day and the fight of the day. And he goes and gives those guys like an extra, I don't know, $10,000 or something based on their actual performance in the fight as sort of like incentives. There's some interesting stuff with that UFC.
Good news, Andy. Your girl's back this week.
My mechanic. I was talking to my mechanic yesterday, and he goes, you know, it's this, I forgot what he's talking, big football fan. He goes, what I do, he says, I always check that NFL morning show on the NFL Network just to see what that woman is wearing. She is very attractive. It's working. People are checking in just to see what she's wearing.
Nicole's a loser.
And he's like, it's not trashy, but they do a little leather, a little animal print. It's just on that line between hot and trashy.
Nick in Nova Scotia writes,
what's your mechanic doing? He needs a spot on BFW in progress.
Trying to find a place to put his dipstick, apparently.
Oh, boy. This guy.
He'll work on your car. He's your mechanic.
Right. He's figure out how to fix my AC first.
Hey, Fred, Paul, Andy, and the Blood Orange.
That's him.
I know.
That's the a-hole. That's today's episode.
That's Gerard Mayo. Today, gave
that's
him
right.
That.
He did.
He gave you that name, the Blood Orange.
Very creative.
So we're doing a good job
blood
so far.
Orange at the
What's
time.
That?
We only interview captains here on BFW in Progress.
Right. Well,
saw Logan Mankins.
Kyle Arrington.
Saw Logan Mankins yesterday right, in the parking lot.
Well, he could be a captain. Right. Who knows?
I forgot about him. High-paid players and captains.
Okay.
Overpaid players.
Forget. Wow.
Different show. I saw Logan Mankins
in the
seasonal superstore parking lot yesterday randomly.
Oh, yeah? What was he
I
getting?
Didn't stop.
Pool supplies?
I don't know.
I spend a lot of time there in this, you know, leading up to the summer.
Yeah, saw him at Trader Joe's a few weeks ago.
Had some pool cover issues, Freddie, this spring.
Oh, yeah, what happened?
A whole side. You know, I have the deck side, so I need the, you know, the pillows that you have to put on.
Yeah, the water
bowl. A couple of them popped.
Oh, yeah?
So I have to, the cover ended up in. There's tons of leaves in the water now.
Oh, that's a pain. Yeah.
I got it all straightened out, but the water underneath is a mess.
All you pool rich guy. Guys and your pool problems.
Pool guy not going to be happy with me when he comes and takes the cover off.
Anyway,
although Nick, it's his fault.
Nick in Nova Scotia says, the animals sometimes make those holes.
I don't think the animals are up on the deck too often.
I've seen lately a lot of animals. Deer, rabbits, all over the yard.
Well,
oh, my.
Yeah.
No, it's spring. They're all coming out of, you know, there's seeds. There's fresh growth to eat. They're all over the place. A lot of turkeys. I've seen a lot of turkeys.
Yeah, a lot of turkeys.
I've had to jam on my brakes a few different times crossing the road for turkeys.
Yeah. I hope you've all recuperated from the events last week. In particular, Andy, did you hear about the event up here in Canada?
Yes.
That came to pass yesterday.
Yeah.
The Royal Canadian Mounted Police, our national police, supposedly discovered and stopped a major terrorism attack on a railroad.
In Toronto, right?
Yeah. Are they all mounted?
Some footage of that.
I think
they don't have cars and stuff?
I'm sure they have cars.
Wasn't that a movie? The guy in like a comedy with the guy riding the...
Yeah, Dudley Do-Right.
Oh, yeah,
it's a cartoon.
Yeah. But there was a movie with that bad actor who does all the bad movies.
The bad actor that does
that
all the
bad... That narrows it down
movies.
Quite
He's
a
relatively
bit.
Young. He does know. A bunch of those terrible, like, kid-type comedy, Tarzan-type, Dudley Do-Right. What the hell?
Brendan Fraser?
Brendan Fraser.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think he was Dudley
I liked
Do-Right.
Him in The Mummy. That was good.
Never seen it.
I think that's another one of those.
He was good
kinda...
in School Ties.
Never
of course,
seen
that
it.
Was about 30 years ago.
On a more positive note, I have two separate questions. One, you said that the Patriots were looking for a veteran pass rush presence, and you all believe John Abraham is the guy. But Abraham left Gillette without a contract, and Tommy Kelly was signed soon after. Don't you think Kelly was their backup plan, and there is no imminent Abraham signing like Fred has been intimating?
Kelly's a tackle. Abraham's an edge.
They're different kind of players.
Right.
Here's the problem, right. Eric.
One doesn't rule out the other. They're different. Did you have something to say about Abraham, though? You look like you were.
Well, no. You are the only one who believes it's a done deal.
He said that.
Okay. Because we think he'd be a good fit and are concerned that it is nowhere near a done deal. I mean, that's sort of the differentiation between us and you.
And now I am now looking forward to the day where he walks out onto the field in the middle of training camp and Fred exalts.
Does a victory lap.
Double barrels to all of us.
Around the media tent.
It does a victory lap in front of me.
Who's that player doing the penalty lap? No, that's Fred. He's running around the field.
He'll never be mistaken for a player. Who's that 4'7", 300-pound player?
I celebrate by shaking up a Gatorade, opening it, and nothing happens.
Wow.
Good, Kevin. Number two says, Nick in Nova Scotia, if in a crazy scenario that landed the Patriots with Carolina's number 14 pick for a variety of other picks, which prospect do you think they would target? At 14.
14. I mean, the needs stay the same. I think you're still talking about who's the best corner on the board or who's the best pass rusher on the board. The problem is I don't really have an answer. This gets back to our whole don't really know how things are going to fall.
It's a bad draft overall.
I mean, Paul might like Ziggy Ansah or one of those guys who are probably going to go before the Patriots pick. Do you take a chance? I don't think he fits here. Jarvis Jones, who I think is the perfect Steeler. I said this to Paul yesterday. If they could just swap out James Harrison for Jarvis Jones, I mean, that's
got a lot of traction on Twitter today.
He said that today.
Yeah, to me, after watching him on tape, he is a Steelers outside linebacker. Like, he couldn't be any more suited to what they do and what they look for in that position.
A guy Mingo is getting a lot of traction.
Mingo, very good player, but perfect fit for the Patriots.
No, Barcavius Mingo, LSU.
Oh, who's the guy out of Connecticut that
Bleedy Ray Wilson?
C.O. Moore.
Okay.
You're talking about an edge rusher?
Yeah.
C.O. Moore.
Okay.
But I don't
maybe
like,
a second round
I can't
guy. Not
name
that.
One.
Very athletic.
I can't name a guy where I'd say, if I were the Patriots in the perfect scenario,
C.O. Moore,
that's
his
the
film.
Guy. The best pass rusher statistically is Jones. I don't think, I mean, he's not a defensive end. So are we going back to the 3-4? Where does he fit? Now, the defensive ends, they're all risks. Deion Jordan. Risk. He's probably going to go higher than this fictional 14th pick.
Fictional 14th.
There's a 14th pick.
No, but we're not going to have it. I don't know why he picks
that.
Carolina
actually does have the 14th pick.
I don't know why that pick. I mean, are there rumors of that? Where did that we're trading with Carolina
That's
come
a big
from?
Jump, too. 29 yeah. to 14, especially when you only have five picks.
But can you name one
it's
guy
exciting.
You want?
Well, it means one of us might not have to write a draft profile.
Yeah.
But
Barrett Jones. Just kidding. I'm kidding.
No, but who would you take? Okay, if you had basically the pick of the litter. Who would you take?
That's a great question.
I don't have my Robert Quinn. That year I could have taken
two or
three.
Litter, I think I would take Ansah.
Okay. Yeah. He's the answer to what ails the Patriots' problems?
And I would immediately go to church.
And regret it.
And pray.
No, you'll regret it.
Doesn't bust.
You can skip the
prayer. And God would say, who are you? What are you doing here?
That's a good point. Although I do have to go to church on Sunday.
But I... Do you have an answer, Fred? And it can't be Fredericks.
Do you have an answer?
I see what you did there. Fred opening our lines, scrambling to find an answer.
How about Bjorn Werner?
No, thank you. Wouldn't want to touch
him. Nine?
Fred, it was funny.
Nine.
We did a...
Nine!
Eric, Andy, and I did a podcast yesterday.
I wouldn't
yesterday
touch him with your dipstick.
For defensive linemen, and it was amazing. Like, you rattle off, like, the top, conservatively, five, six defensive ends, and every one of them is an unbelievable risk-reward guy. Werner, Hunt, Ansah, Jordan. I mean, like, just on right on down the line. They have tremendous athleticism. Probably going to look great in uniforms. Either they don't have a lot of experience, don't have a lot of production, or just are not necessarily well-rounded guys.
Right.
I think if you made me take a guy, I'd take a defensive tackle. I would either take Sharif Floyd.
I could take one of those guys, too.
Richardson. Or I would take Star Lutulele.
I like Floyd.
He might be gone.
I do like
Floyd. No. I'm saying if we had somebody high, like
to Andy's question, fictional, you know.
I would take one of the D tackles. I think they're the safest, and you have a relative need there.
But in terms of guys who
and then sign Abraham.
Quite possibly sure. could be available at 29 and who's an edge rusher,
that's all different.
I think that Alex Okafor.
I like
I don't
him.
Love him.
I like him more than
from
Andy
what
does.
I'm reading.
Our lads.
He seems to be a guy who. He can make an impact right away. He's not one of those developmental guys. He could come right
he
in
said,
and play.
He said flat out at the combine, now I am going to make a big impact right off the top. And then he said something that was got everybody really uncomfortable by talking about Africans. And we have beasts. In Africa, we have beasts. And everybody just sort of kind of looked at each other really, you know, like, I'm a white guy. Should I be,
right.
Am I uncomfortable right
am
now?
Am I allowed to laugh?
Yeah. And he confidence was not an issue with Alex Okafor.
He wasn't talking about the wildlife?
And
like
he
him.
Wasn't talking about a mecca.
You don't like him.
Okafor.
I really
no,
don't.
By the way,
him.
He's not related to.
He's an effort and motor guy. And what I watched, I didn't like his pass rush moves. I don't think he's quick or fast. And he's a 260-pound bull rusher.
Andy,
you know what a 260-pound bull rusher
it's
is?
Funny.
Useless.
But you know what's funny about that? I actually thought, wow, he can bull rush. Because all these guys in college, you watch them on, and they're great. Highlight films, and you see so many guys just run right around the tackle,
right.
And they have speed. And I say, well, what happens if he gets blocked? I actually thought that was a plus for him because he got blocked a couple times and still got there because he had some power behind
right.
him.
I heard,
but Andy playing the role of Paul.
You know,
I don't like him. He's got a high motor.
You know, I guess he played.
That's what I say.
In the Senior Bowl, it was just a mismatch. He just overwhelmed guys in the game
against two.
Well, you know, I don't know exactly who he was playing. But
I'm just asking for a name.
But you'd rather have him dominate.
Because if he blew past DJ Fluker, I'll say, well, he's a slow right tackle. If you tell me he was a mismatch against Jokel, I mean,
that was a joke.
Or Lane Johnson.
He just wants to brag because he watches the offensive lineman.
It's my thing again. You know why he was bull rushing Paul? Maybe he couldn't get the edge because he's slow.
Listen. There's no sure things here.
What was he yelling at?
Between the two of you. You're really both of you. You need to settle down today.
I was really disappointed in him, too. Number 80.
Save it for Thursday.
I thought he would be like athletic, like this, like, oh, I am an athlete. I'm wearing an 80, like I'm a receiver. And then he bull rushes. Ooh, 260-pound bull rusher.
I don't mind that once in a while.
You can't do it all the time at 260 pounds in the NFL.
I said once in a while.
Well, what else does he have?
Okay.
Not enough of a repertoire.
Here's the unfortunate part. I'm reading my notes on Okafor and pretty much exactly what Andy just said is what I said, but
he likes it.
We came away with a totally different opinion of the guy.
So we're not arguing the facts.
I wrote fights, relentless, good pass rusher from the inside as well as the outside. Good strength, and Andy doesn't like him.
Same guy, two different total.
Right, which means they're not really that good. Which means trade down,
or one of you can't scout.
Well, we know I can scout.
Well, but we actually have the same exact scouting report on the guy. It's just that he thinks he stinks, and I think he's good.
Yeah, we're giving the same scouting report to Bill Belichick. It's up to him to interpret it. We're both talking about what he does. It's his to decide what he can do.
You guys are late with your reports. Bill Belichick,
yes.
You're late. So he's still waiting for them.
Looking forward to 30 for 30 tonight, by the way, with Marino and Elway. That should be fun. You guys don't care about these things. I do.
Well, you know, I don't like watching spoiled elitist athletic biatches decide where they're going to play. It bothers me.
You got to let it go. It happened in 1983.
Well, no. If I'm going to rip Eli Manning for it, I'm going to stick to my guns and
rip that
Eli
happened in 2004. You got to let that go, too.
Unless he had a good reason. Did he have a good reason?
No.
Not like Bo.
He didn't want to play for the Colts. He didn't want to play for the Colts. And I'm ashamed of myself for not immediately coming back with that, but that's okay.
Tom in London, most gambling people will wager that we trade out of the first round to accumulate later picks, but there is a player in the draft. But is there a player in the draft that you would be okay with Bill trading up for? I personally think only one or two guys fit that mold. One is Latulele, and the other is Patterson. Cordarrelle Patterson?
Cordarrelle.
I'm not trading up for any receivers.
No. Certainly not trading up for Patterson.
No. The depth of this draft and the uncertainty.
Or he has a hip or something? Or?
No, you
probably
think it's Keenan Allen you might be thinking of? Oh. He's had some injury problems.
What injury?
They all have
really
issues.
I don't really like Keenan Allen all that much, but...
Keenan Ivory Allen?
Patterson is fine. I would talk about him just the way we talked about Williams and some of the other guys. I think there's good receivers in this draft, but I wouldn't trade up to get any of them. I think Cordarrelle Patterson is a good player, and I think he's going to be fine, but I wouldn't trade up for him.
My notes don't include anything on a hip.
Yeah, I'm not aware of an injury for Patterson, but that doesn't mean he didn't have one.
Did you have a dream about his hip?
Was his unit on his hip?
Hold on. Hold on.
Yep.
Our lives.
Flipping through there. How old is that issue?
What do you mean?
It looks pretty. How recent is it? It was
from
February, or is it
from either,
this month?
You only have five picks. So I think there's only going to be so many you're going to be able to accumulate. Accumulate? Okay. Sorry, I didn't.
The guy who says dicks to start the show.
Sorry, I didn't have anything that was, banned by the FCC.
I was thinking of Cornelius Carradine.
Tank Carradine had torn ACL.
Right.
Not a hip.
Okay.
I like calling him Cornelius. He yells at me.
He's an intriguing prospect.
I like him.
I don't know if you want to trade up for him, though.
Well, he's a guy. The rumor now is, he could go ahead of Werner in the first round. Naraki thinks he's a third or a fourth round pick. He's coming off an ACL. He had one great year. But as far as the Patriots go, he would be perfect, except for the ACL. He is a pass rushing left defensive end.
That makes him perfect for the Patriots.
Well, maybe. And who knows? In this day and age, it's hard to say, an ACL, he tore it in November. He's had that's further removed than, say, Adrian Peterson, and I know he's now the benchmark.
Speaking of intriguing prospects, is there any chance that Marcus Hunt can be converted to offensive tackle?
Well, he would still have to gain, 30 pounds.
He'd have to gain weight. He certainly has the build.
Yeah.
He has the build and athleticism to be an elite left tackle.
So I'm losing faith that he's going to succeed as a defensive end.
He just learned football. Now you're going to ask him to learn something. And he's 20.
Well, maybe.
He's older. He's 26, 27.
I'm not a huge fan overall, but isn't the best thing about him is his ridiculous athleticism?
Yes.
So why do you want to waste that on the offensive line?
You know?
Yeah, don't waste that on the O-line.
I have your concerns about the height. Chop him down like a big old tree.
Right? They already have two 6'8 tackles, though.
Right.
I don't mean for the Patriots. I'm just talking about for his career.
No, I know that you weren't talking about the Patriots, but
so
I'm
now
just
we're
saying
just going to pencil a guy in.
You have this guy who I think is just this raw prospect, and the reason that he's on everybody's radar is because he's like eye-popping athleticism.
What did I say?
Right?
Did you say 4.5?
He ran like a 4.5 40 at 6'8", 280. Is it 280?
278.
I mean, that's ridiculous.
Right.
So why do you want to waste him at offensive line?
I just think.
Why don't you say drop five pounds and be a tight end?
I think there is such a thing.
Yeah, that's better. I would rather do that.
You run a 4.5.
Okay.
Rob Gronkowski has never seen a 4.5.
Now that I can see. I just think there is such a thing of being too tall for a position.
I agree.
You know?
But the problem is now you're taking an older prospect and slowing his development by asking him to start over. And yes, some guys can do it. You know, Jimmy Graham's a great athlete and can kind of have a breakout NFL career, but I just think it's dubious. Now you're saying, yeah, if I take him in the fourth or fifth round, sure, let's try that. But he's so talented, he's going to go higher than that. He's going to be a second round pick, maybe even late first. Who knows? So I
do agree with you. I think there was fear of certain positions you're too tall. Andy's been saying it about Hunt. Since the combine, we were talking about it.
Well, it started with your guy a couple of years ago.
Which guy was that?
The guy with no heart out of Northeastern.
Oh, the tight end. Yeah, what was his name?
He was freakishly tall.
Why can't I think of his name?
I don't know. Because I'm certain.
Because they had a couple of different tight ends, and I forget.
His career ended at the combine.
Yeah, and he was too tall. He was like 6'8".
I think there is a limit to that, and I think we're reaching it.
I can't believe I can't think of
I'm embarrassed for you.
Yeah, this is
I'm thinking of Kendrick Ballantyne, but it wasn't
him.
That's
not his
name. We're going to take away your Husky ID card.
Brian, the kid from Walpole. He was from Walpole. Brian something.
He got offended when I told him he was too tall.
You asked him, do you think you're too tall, and he got mad at you?
Well, he said...
Well, that's because he heard about what you talk about the CAA.
He's like, it's a detriment when I go on planes and hit my head and stuff, but I don't think it's a detriment on the football field. And I said, we'll agree to disagree.
We used to have a guy...
Andy asks a confrontational question in every interview.
Back in the Pete Carroll day, they drafted a tackle, white guy.
Scott Rayburg.
And this is the day before the TV screens and the planes were in the back of the seat. They were hanging. He'd hit his head on every trip walking down the aisle.
He's not a real bright man.
No. He didn't last.
Walking down the aisle.
He
wasn't a real talented man. Don't they come down above the seats, though?
No, these were... Like in the aisle.
Really?
This is old school.
Yeah,
wow.
This is old school. He would hit his head every trip.
Should have been a giveaway. Not only is Darrell Revis a bitch in contract negotiations, he throws like one. Did you see that first pitch he threw out? He couldn't have looked like more of a girl.
Brian Manderville.
Yes, Brian Manderville.
I knew it was Brian.
If you know you're going to throw a pitch out at a base, don't you go practice for a while?
I mean, but you can only do so much.
He threw a perfect strike.
Yeah, but he
from
looked
30
like,
feet.
And he looked like a girl doing it.
Yeah.
No offense to girls out there.
He didn't do it from the mound?
No, he was like at the edge of the glass.
No, most people don't. People like to shorten it a little bit.
Well, at least
go from the rubber.
Especially in this day and age with all these compilations of the worst pitches ever and stuff.
I would throw a pill
without
from
question,
the rubber.
Did you see Denard
Robinson's?
Oh, that was the worst I've ever seen. For an athlete.
I don't know.
For a young, in-shape athlete.
What's his name? The sprinters was pretty bad. Didn't Carl Lewis throw it to like the dugout?
Yeah,
well, it got like stuck in his hand.
But wasn't he a little older when he did it?
Well, he's still an elite athlete.
Yeah, to me, a guy who's like actually still in his prime, not retired. That was the worst I've ever seen.
But I think what happened to him, I think he threw it like a football. Like it's like he was holding it sideways and like followed through down to like get the spiral on it and threw it right to the ground.
Ironically, he can't throw a football.
Is it that difficult to throw? So why do so many people
have problems? I think it's probably a nerve-wracking thing, and I think that's why
you're aiming it and you go a little bit closer. You just want to get it there. You get into like Chuck Knoblauch mode, and it's a short, easy throw, but you're thinking about, oh my God, I'm going to embarrass myself. What am I going to do?
Like, but you would think that you do that, you know, 15, 20 times.
I think if I was ever going to do it, I would just get on the mound, wind up, and throw as hard as I could. Because if it goes to the backstop, at least I want it to go to the backstop. I threw it hard. What was all this facial and pointing and gesturing?
He was looking at TV, and I asked if he had talked to him yet. He said no.
So who's him?
We're not talking about
it. It's off air.
It's off air talk.
We're on air.
Yeah, but sometimes we don't have to say everything.
Don't get distracted. Be a professional.
Put your
Pot, this is kettle calling. You black.
I'm waiting for
that was ridiculous.
I don't know why it has to be,
racial.
What is wrong with you?
The pot calls the kettle black.
Yeah, okay.
Which probably stems from a racial thing.
No, because pots and kettles back then, they're those big metal. You see the witches? Their brew is always in a big black pot.
I'm waiting for Fenway for the invite to throw out a first pitch.
You are, huh?
That's going to be quite a wait.
If anyone's listening. Why would you be worthy? What have you done? Miraculous? Or
no, it's just that they have 81 games at home, right?
Yeah, but so I can find 81 more people more significant than him. I'd be 80.
Yeah, but I'd be throwing it from the rubber. So.
And one hop it.
Let's go to the
A's. You couldn't even get your leg up above your gut if you tried to do
it. I think I would tell Salty.
I bet you I can pitch better than you.
I can pitch better than you.
That's another sport that I can do better.
I don't know
than
what
you.
Pitching is. I'm
Paul,
not a pitcher.
Paul would be shaking off the signs. Right.
Yeah,
from
I would
Salty
tell Salty. Okay, here comes a curve.
I bet you I can one of these. I can throw any object better than you except a shot put.
Why? You have big shoulders.
Any object.
I can throw.
Your shoulders are a lot bigger
than
they were,
too. No, but why not a shot
too.
Put? You have big
and
shoulders.
And you can't throw. I've seen you play
strong.
Quarterback.
I mean, he's pretty strong.
I saw you play quarterback in bubble football. You cannot throw any object. If
you
one of those objects is a football.
I can throw a
you
football
were terrible.
Better than you.
You threw like a pansy lefty girl.
He could throw a football
girl.
Over those mountains.
I can throw any object better than you except a shot put.
I did throw the shot put in high school. You got to get down in the schmuck in the C position, explode on it.
Schmuck and C position.
I think that's what it was called, the schmuck, right?
And then what are you looking
you're
at me?
C position. You got to tuck the left arm in so you can explode out of it.
He looks at me and goes, "I think that's right."
I don't know. I thought in like your Herald days, you covered a lot of various events and might have done some shot putting.
I actually never covered a track and field.
No, he was off putting.
I covered a cross country running event.
Oh,
that's
exciting.
That's way worse.
It's absolutely the easiest thing that you'll ever
you
cover.
Wait,
your
you wait for the results.
Wait for them to come.
You wait till they come through.
Because they run through like the woods, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's not even like you.
You wait at the finish line
track.
And they're done, and you ask them what
so
happened.
So how was that?
Yeah.
That was
well,
tough.
I tripped happened. On a stump.
Well,
and
I started, and now I finished.
Yeah, it's the greatest.
I ran pretty fast.
Yeah.
Greatest thing.
Unless Karen Tappan's one of the cross-country runners. She was a cross-country
Catherine.
Runner.
Catherine.
Well, Catherine.
Oh.
But you're right.
Maybe her sister, Karen. I don't know.
Let's go to the.
If I was watching her run cross country, the trees wouldn't be the only wood.
Oh, field boy. Hockey was tough because the whistle just blew like all the time,
oh, yeah,
and you
stupid.
Had no idea why.
Stupid.
Sean's in Salt Lake City. Hey, Sean.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
What's up?
Wanted to call in about the draft, but I also heard something on ESPN yesterday. I wanted to get your guys' take on. They're saying the reason that New York traded Revis is because they were worried about Revis ended up in New England.
Well, I think they would he was going to leave. I don't know about just New England. That was a rumor a long time ago when Gary Myers wrote that worst nightmare column, and they had the picture of Revis in a Patriots uniform. But I think they traded him because the owner apparently had some sort of personal issue. They weren't going to re-sign him, so they got something for it.
Well, because, I mean, I could understand him leaving and going somewhere, but I never in a million years would have ever imagined Revis in New England.
Oh, I could.
Well, why?
I actually think if Bill Belichick suddenly knew he was signing one-year deals for, I think, whoa, how come we weren't in on that? God, I mean, why would you not take Darrelle Revis at a high salary year to year?
And I also would tell everybody, keep an eye on the whole situation. He's now in Tampa Bay with Greg Schiano, and if it doesn't necessarily work out perfectly for the Bucs and they have a train wreck and he becomes a problem,
yep.
Maybe
the first time
maybe
a Buccaneer
they
corner
like they
ended
did
up coming
to
here.
Right.
Yeah. I wouldn't.
But has Belichick
I wouldn't close
ever
that
paid $16 million a year for a corner?
No. No one has.
No one has.
No one has.
It's the first time.
Well, I mean, even in that ballpark, I mean.
No, but Belichick's problem isn't
when
with
he ever had a player that's been in that ballpark.
But he's never had trouble spending money. He doesn't want to pay the fifth best corner the highest paid salary.
Right.
Darrelle Revis, assuming he returns to his level, is the best corner in football, and I don't think Bill has any problem paying for the best.
I agree.
Especially on that kind of deal. It would be different if he had signed a traditional $60 million guaranteed on a $180 million deal. I think Bill would pause. But I only have to pay him elite value every year until he's not elite anymore, and then I cut him?
And that also
sounds good.
But if he had signed a deal like that, that also would make him largely untradeable because
right.
the team's not going to take that. Whatever that guarantee would be a substantial signing bonus,
right.
and the team's not going to want to take that hit. To trade him, even if he is a problem.
I honestly think there's a chance that
the contract makes him movable.
I mean, as it is, Donald Jones puts the Patriots over the top, but I think if you brought in Revis, it would be a done deal.
Okay, so my draft.
Wait a minute.
We're trying to have
guys.
A real conversation.
What if the Bucks, who are coached by Greg Schiano, who's Bell's boy, Bill's boy, not Bell's boy, only traded for Revis to trade him to Bill? It's
well,
all a three-way deal.
That's my fantasy. That's my fantasy.
You have the worst fantasies ever.
Yeah. I have different kinds of fantasies.
I'm sorry. I don't wake up soaking wet every morning, you know?
It's not every morning. It's occasionally.
Only on the good ones.
Right. Like last night, I had a dream I got a haircut.
Even draft in the first round?
And he was still wet.
I'm sorry, Sean. Go ahead.
Do you think we'll even draft in the first round?
Yes.
God, I hope
so. I think there's a chance.
I think there's a chance. I'm leaning to no, though. I think that they will find a way to trade down. I think Andy San Francisco well, it's too late.
I'm just saying. I don't want to waste my night.
Podcast yesterday, and you guys were talking about elite talent, and I don't see really any, minus out of the top four or five picks.
I think everyone agrees.
You're probably right. I would agree.
Borderline no elite talent outside of the defensive tackle position.
And that kind of makes it interesting, I think. You know, because
in a crappy way. It's like parody. It's a parody draft. I don't think it's interesting because no one's good. Who cares? They're all going to suck in a couple of years.
No, I know, but it's just you have no idea who's going to pick who.
Right, that makes it fun.
I would agree with
you on that,
Fred. I
like eliteness.
Yeah. I think it does make a little different, you know, a little different swing on the whole
thing. You guys had a caller earlier talking about if we had the 16th pick, which this guy would be gone way before then. I'd just like to imagine Star next to Wilfork.
I agree. He's one of the top couple guys. I think that's a good question for us to ask, not just to whoever this guy is, but the other emailers.
All right, you guys have a good day.
Okay, thanks, Sean. Thanks, Sean.
Pick of the litter, who would you take? Who cares about anything else? If there was one guy, and I think Star, Lutulile.
I think he's an excellent player, and I think Andy's right when he targets that position. I think those guys are probably the best. I just don't.
One way or the other.
Listen, I might be I'm stubborn. I was going to say I might be stubborn, but we all know I am. I just don't think that you need those two guys anymore. I don't think you need, you know, I don't necessarily fantasize over Star next to Vince inside. All I think of when I think of that is Sam Adams and Pat Williams. And coaches that are sharp like Belichick was found a way to completely eliminate them because he played a whole different style. Well, a lot of teams play that whole different style. They do hurry up now as a rule. And they spread the field now as a rule. Mm. Teams like the Buffalo Bills, for God's sakes, ran every play with four wide receivers.
So you'd be more excited.
What do you need two big mammoth 300-plus-pound defensive tackles for nowadays?
You'd be more excited to see more of a Giants NASCAR type of thing going on.
Yeah, but who? Yeah.
Well, that's the problem. That's why
Give me Deion Jordan. He had four
I agree with
sacks.
Andy. Sharif Floyd, Sheldon Richardson, Starr, you know, those guys are better than Ziggy Ansah. Those guys, I think, are safer anyway than Ziggy Ansah. But I'm not sure you get that much out of them.
Who's going to be better, Jordan or Ansah?
Ansah.
Ansah. Apparently it's Ansah.
He always has to say it different.
A-hole. That's
I just said you said it different. I didn't say anything derogatory.
What do you guys think of D. Milliner? Yeah?
Solid, not spectacular.
Yeah, not a great athlete. I don't think he's an elite athlete.
A lot of injury problems they were talking about. I heard Mort talking about him yesterday.
Well, I heard that there's
hurt right now.
Maybe
five
some
surgeries.
Misinformation going around.
Yeah, people
him.
Think he's dropping. You didn't hear that. You read it on Pro Football Talk.
Schefter just tweeted about
what
that.
Kids were, I didn't
now.
Make it up, you idiot. Of course I read it somewhere.
You really are beyond belief.
Yeah, I don't think he's – I mean, people are talking about him as like a top six pick.
This is like the you know the picks get tweeted out and Andy goes no you didn't hear that you just read it off a tweet well no kidding
right
according to Schefter five surgeries for Milliner right knee scope sports hernia right tibia stress fracture left shoulder and right shoulder
so he's injury prone
yeah
okay. Or fragile
let me read this one from Serena in Woodland Hills California she says she's first time listening live
well, hey girl
welcome to the live experience.
welcome to the over now.
Welcome
baby.
To the awkward I've been host.
I've been listening to your show. I'm awkward. I've been listening to
I'm intentionally awkward. You're just awkward.
Yeah. I've been
Yeah.
I've been listening
like that.
To your
show
since I've been listening to your show since the 2006 AFC Championship game loss.
Oh.
Thanks for helping me get through that. I usually listen to the podcast because the mornings are too busy at work for me to listen live. I'm not working today, so I finally get to send an email.
All right.
I know you've talked about this before, but I was hoping you could revisit the question briefly. Is it more important to get a pass rusher that can pressure or sack the quarterback or to get a good cover corner so the pass rush will have more time to get to the quarterback? I just want them to get a freak of nature pass rusher who does nothing but terrorize the quarterback. I know wide receiver is important, but sadly, with Wes Welker gone, I think whoever they draft will get a chance to develop a rapport with Brady. It doesn't seem like some of the other wide receivers they drafted in the past ever really got a chance, just my opinion. Thanks for a highly entertaining and often explosive show. Keep up the great work. You guys definitely rock. And P.S., does Darren Sharper of NFL Network hate Tom Brady and the Patriots like Marshall Faulk does, or is it just my imagination? They all hate us, Serena. They all hate us. Unless you're Willie McGinnis, they all hate us.
And your instincts are right, Serena. The beast of a pass-rushing defensive end or outside linebacker is more preferable because it starts at the quarterback. If you can take the quarterback down.
Right. Simple. A simple. Corner can only cover one
receiver.
Corner
can only cover for so long.
There's three or four other options that quarterback can dump to. If there's a pass rusher in the quarterback's face, you've eliminated all options because you've eliminated the quarterback.
Mm-hmm. And
kill the head and the beast will follow.
I really believe that. And I also think, besides,
right, Greg?
You don't even have to get to the quarterback. It's just that in the quarterback's head.
Make him run around.
Force him to make mistakes.
Timing is off.
Yeah. Right, right.
I mean, it's a short-term Drew Bledsoe thing. How he got late in his career, you can get a quarterback in a game, get him thinking about you early on, pressures, hits, and all of a sudden he's trigger shy, just like Drew was late in his career from so many hits over an extended period of time.
Well, some might say the way Tom Brady is in the playoffs.
Hold on a second.
It's true.
Why does it always have to be Tom versus Drew?
Tom Curran.
He started it.
Tom Curran just retweeted Associated Press, breaking news, two explosions in the White House, Barack Obama injured.
What?
Hold on a second. I just want to make sure this is the right. Yeah. Associated Press.
Oh my God!
A million, 2 million followers.
The Associated Press was hacked.
Was it?
Thank God.
Ignore AP tweet on explosions.
Thank God.
Oh, thank goodness. My heart.
Now this isn't really fair though, because when an athlete says he's hacked, I don't believe it.
Okay, my heart skipped a beat right there. It's like, you know, just the idea of them being able to penetrate. You know. Okay, he has to laugh. He's unbelievable. All right. That was obviously a hack. Don't disregard it. It's 1:15. We've been going strong. We're going to take a break, eat a little food. We'll be right back.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. Now's the time to take advantage of our low price value games. Whether it's the Boston Bruins, Boston Celtics, or Boston Red Sox, Ace has the tickets you need, starting at just $19. Ace always has the best seats at the best prices. And all our tickets come with a 200% money back guarantee. Ace has free and easy pickup by Fenway Park or across from the Garden. So treat yourself or someone special. Visit aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Like so many soldiers returning home from combat, adjusting to life as a civilian hasn't been easy for retired Army Staff Sergeant Ben Dellinger.
The hardest part was getting out. You don't lose your friends, but like basically all those people get taken away from you all at once. It felt like my life was over at times. Everything I thought I was totally different.
American heroes like Ben face many challenges when they return home. That's why, for more than 90 years, Bank of America has partnered with military organizations to support jobs, housing, and critical needs of veterans and their families. We're also committed to recruiting and hiring veterans, reservists, and military spouses. And for Ben, we partnered with Military Warrior Support Foundation to award his family a mortgage-free home.
This is something I never expected to happen, and I'm truly grateful to each and every person involved.
To find out more about Bank of America's efforts, visit bankofamerica.com/military support. 2013 Bank of America Corporation. Bank of America, N.A. member FDIC.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit Patriots.com/the list to join today. And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
I'll tell you, I was at the beach on Tuesday, and there were a lot of high school girls there.
So you were lying on your stomach drilling for oil all day?
Oh, my God.
And I'm the inappropriate one.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
All right, back here in PFW in progress, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. webradio@patriots.com is the email address. I apologize for that AP tweet readout. That was
that blame Tom Karn for retweeting.
That really scared me.
It and 3,500 others or whatever.
So we're
believing it.
We will continue
really
talking about the draft here.
A lot of people are saying it now from AP.
What's that?
Just saying, I'm skeptical when athletes say they were hacked. Shouldn't I be skeptical otherwise?
How are these major website accounts getting CBS got hacked during the whole bombing thing for a while, you know?
Well, it was happening a lot for one. Remember when like McDonald's and Burger King and like they were hacking competitors and putting their logos and different things? And
yeah,
so I mean, I guess it's not that hard apparently.
Well, I mean, all it is a username and password, but you know, they should have Twitter should set up something for, you know, major brands like that where you have to be accessing it from certain IPs, and if you're not coming from that IP, you know, you can't do it. That kind of defeats the purpose of social, but I think when you have a big brand like that, you're usually tweeting from a certain place, you know. It's not like you're on the road a lot. So I think that could work.
I don't speak geek.
Anyway, Benny in Rhode Island writes in. He says, long time, first time here. Try to figure out who this year's Stephen Neal, Nate Ebner might be. With our extremely limited number of picks this year, why not another project player with limited to no football experience?
Lawrence Okoye.
Seems reasonable to me. Any thoughts on this bloke, Lawrence Okoye from England, 6'5", 300-pound Olympian who runs a 4.8 40. He was there for the discus, but I guess he comes from a rugby background. Sounds like Bill Belichick pick all the way. Any other future WWEers that you like? Keep it up, guys. Your show single-handedly gets my dog through separation anxiety when I'm away at work. Well, that and a little Benadryl, and she sleeps like a baby.
Who was the guy the other day, Paul? I said somebody was going to have a good WWE career when they bust out of the...
Yeah, Marcus Hunt.
It was Hunt, yeah.
Okay, I thought so. He's in that mix. Okay, Fred, I'll keep talking because you're eating. Yeah, that Okoye guy, I mean, there's hard to know much about him. I don't know if he has rugby background, if there's anybody who's seen him play anything. He's not that far from Hunt. He's a big, strong, athletic, fast athlete. But, I mean, what do you do with him? And it sounds like he might get drafted based on he was at the regional combines.
Yep. Ray Anderson was there, for example, from the NFL, and, you know, he wasn't always a suit. He was an athlete, and he says that you know, he really liked the guy. He showed huge potential.
No, but I mean, is he a better athlete than Brock Lesnar? I'm going to say no. Brock Lesnar couldn't make it or couldn't put in the work and the time and the dedication. I don't know where that went south, but he didn't make the Vikings. And I'm guessing as a wrestler, I mean, you could speak on this better than I, he was an elite athlete as a wrestler.
Right.
Who's every bit as ripped, every bit as big and athletic. You know, this guy's a discus thrower, Olympic-type guy. He's obviously a world-class athlete, but it's not just easy to come play football at a high level.
Right.
Because a lot of these guys are great athletes who've also played it for the last 8, 10, 12 years and honed their craft of being a defensive end, being, you know, all the stupid Anthony Pleasant hand-slapping and the little things that aren't just about being 6'6", 300 pounds and running a 4A40.
And I also think, you know, look, in no disrespect to the offensive linemen, I think there's a difference between never having played football and then teaching them to be an offensive lineman than playing defense or a skill position.
Well, I struggle with that because it obviously worked out. They had Stephen Neal on defense and moved to offense, became a very good guard. But at some point, there's something to be said for you freakishly big, fast guy. Just see that guy over there, you know, water boy it. Go get him. Use whatever tools you have at your disposal to go get him. Channel that anger. Channel that athleticism. Whereas offensive line is a thinking man's game. There is a ton of thinking and working together and experience.
Is
that guy coming? Is that guy coming?
But,
who's on my inside shoulder? Who's on my outside shoulder?
And that's true,
what
but,
do I do in this?
But,
blah, blah,
but
blah.
That's mental. And I'm just talking about the physical part
and it's experience,
of it.
Too.
No, it is.
It's instincts.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's recognizing, you know, blocking schemes
but,
and,
you know,
and whatnot.
Assuming the guy is, you know, has a good head on his shoulders, I think, you know, that's a position that, you know, offensive guard, for example, is a position you can learn.
Well, you can learn any position. I'm not sure I agree with you.
But the okay. The other part, too, with Neil, I think the process gets somewhat underrated. Like, I think what Stephen Neal did is vastly underrated. Mm-hmm. I think that is such an exception to that rule. There's countless guys, and Andy just threw Brock Lesnar out there. There's countless guys that have tried it without having played, and you don't ever hear of them because they wash out. Stephen Neal became a Pro Bowl caliber. He may have never been a Pro Bowler, but he was an exceptional guard after having never really played football at a high level. That's not something that you just, like, you can't just say, like, and I know the email wasn't saying this, but who's the Stephen Neal this year?
Well, I mean, it happens.
You're going to bring a guy in.
I mean, Antonio Gates is maybe the best tight end in history. Didn't play football. I mean, so yeah. There's a track record. It can happen.
There are exceptions, I know. But what I'm saying is I think every team, every other year, tries one of those guys.
Right.
And, you know.
Yeah, we had a wrestler.
Give me a few more.
Last year, 2 years ago?
A few years ago, yeah.
Yeah.
A few years Kid from Kent State.
Yeah, I think
yeah,
so.
Yeah, he was huge. I forget his name now. But that's kind of my point. We try it more often than you know.
Jeremiah Porter? Something like
sure.
that?
Sure, kind of sounds right. I mean, and then there was like seemed like a longer time where track was bigger. I don't know, the 80s,
yeah, the
90s,
80s.
Where Olympic track.
Well, yeah,
Ronaldo
was
Nehemiah
there
was
the hunt for the Willie Gault.
Yeah.
You
and
know,
then now and, it's not quite as the same.
Yeah, like Ronaldo Nehemiah never really worked out.
Yeah.
Right.
He played a little bit, but only because he was on such a great team they could afford to try it.
Yeah.
But they're always looking. They're always looking in various spots for the biggest, fastest, strongest guys.
Josh in Charlottesville says, I disagree.
And why is his name Okoye?
I don't know.
What's wrong with that?
I don't know. I think that is an African name.
Okay. Well,
the only two Okoyes I know are Christian and Amopi.
Perillo's an Italian name. Doesn't mean he has to be living in Italy.
Yeah, exactly.
Is he black?
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't seen him yet.
He can,
I've only read
you know,
about him.
You can move about the world and live where you choose.
White.
What? No, well, I'm not going to get into that. I'm not going to have you dig your own grave here on the radio.
Why? So,
why did you make that assumption?
Where's Gerard Mayo when you need him?
I don't know.
Because he was from the UK, you assumed?
The other part, yeah. By the way, in terms of who's going to be that guy.
I assume all those blokes are white.
I'd be very surprised if they took a flat-out project this year, assuming
right.
they only have five.
I
now,
agree.
Listen, you have two seventh-rounders, so certainly you could have one of those guys.
Denard Robinson?
In the seventh round. But I'd be surprised if, unless they add double the picks, and they just start trading down to get two picks, trading down to get two picks,
with
and all of a sudden
Andy
you end
Reed.
Up with 10. I'm not sure you can afford to take Nate Ebner this year in a draft class with five guys.
Right. That's like somebody was asking, should they take a kicker? Because Gostkowski's too expensive and you need the new kicker.
No, you get a kicker like the way everybody else gets a kicker.
Undrafted.
You sign him.
When you need him. You don't need one right now anyway.
Well, I would be shocked if one isn't in camp. Let's put it that way.
Oh, yeah. They'll have somebody.
And
yeah,
somebody some better, some, UMass.
No, somebody better than Chris Kaplan or Copeland, whatever his name is.
Rhymed with Zeppelin until it didn't anymore.
Josh from Charlottesville, I disagree that the Patriots are going to trade down again this year. I know their picks are very limited, but I believe that they're all in for what is likely Brady's last few years in that they won't trade up but will do something similar to last year. Ideally, I would like for them to sign Abraham at free agency, which I still think they're going to do, and go for two receivers, one defensive back, and probably a good value lineman with either of the seven. I liked a few that they worked out in particular, such as Kenny Stills and Derek Rogers, and I do predict them to take one or both in the draft. Honey Badger would be a good third-round pick if he makes it that far. I don't disagree that they have a need at defensive end, but that can be fixed short-term with the addition of Abraham, and we can always draft a new situational pass rusher next year. Offense is too big of a need. Defense does win championships, but you can't put up as few points as we did against the Ravens. Keep up the good work and God bless.
Okay, in light of that idea of filling holes from within or delaying filling holes, who has a better chance of being a contributing player this year, Rozai Dowling or Jake Beckett?
That's a great question, Andy.
Jake Beckett.
Because Jake Beckett gets no mention of anything.
Jake Beckett does.
I'm going to go with Dowling, but I think that's a great question.
I say Beckett because he has the experience in the best conference in football, and he does
in the SEC of the SEC.
Yeah, and he's not injury prone. Dowling has very limited experience in not as good a conference and is always hurt.
I don't think Beckett was any near as good as you guys thought he was at Arkansas.
But he was better than Dowling was at Virginia.
I don't think he was as good an athlete as Dowling was at Virginia, and that's why. And I also think you need more defensive backs than you need those guys rotating up front. I think, especially if they get Abraham.
Well, if they get Abraham, I think my question is somewhat useless.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking the guy said, you know, I still think we can get Abraham. And yes,
and if they
I
don't,
agree.
And if they don't.
What if they don't?
Right.
Now you're back to Ninkovich, Cunningham. You're down Scott, unless you bring him back. And is Beckett capable of filling
a
rotational role?
You got
role?
Cunningham and Francis. I think that Beckett's behind all of those guys.
You know what will happen if you rely on Cunningham and Francis? Your pass rush will blow again.
Probably, but the only thing
I'm
that,
trying to improve the team here
well,
in my head.
Yeah, and I don't think you improved that by playing him. That's all. The only thing I disagree with you about is Beckett's ability.
Yeah, the only thing I disagree with you about is Dowling's ability.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think Dowling,
I don't think he can play.
I don't think Dowling is
durable.
You know,
you're not supposed
and
to get too big and too stiff.
Yeah, I think he's
a big stiff.
I think
literally and figuratively.
The injuries to
snaps.
Dowling have covered up the fact that I don't think he's that good a player.
He stinks.
So I think we're all in agreement.
So neither is the answer.
Right.
So A was Dowling, B was Beckett, C was both, and D, Paul's answer, neither.
I think you need more defensive backs. That's why I picked Dowling.
Is Jermaine Cunningham on the team this year?
Yeah.
By need or by talent?
By need.
No.
I think he's going to be on the team. Unless they – I'll see how the draft – if they sign Abraham and draft a guy or something, but right now he's got to be on the team. They got nobody. They got Rob Ninkovich.
Look at these bullets, John Elway.
I know. I'm watching the old Stanford footage.
Connor,
might want to turn your mic on.
Connor in New Hampshire
and
says,
"Oh my God, Ben, he was so good.
He was so good."
Now rub the inside of your thigh when you're seeing it again.
Did you love him in college, or did you start loving him in Denver?
When he went to Denver.
Okay. So you didn't have a Stanford.
I did. Yeah, I didn't really ever see him play in college.
Did you not have an Hour Lads back then? You
no,
didn't know?
No, I didn't.
Well, he wasn't heading up the scouting department here at.
He wasn't
so
a geek back then. He was going to those parties,
sure
drinking and smoking. And
oh, he
doing
had
all
kinds
drugs.
Of stuff. You've
heard,
I've the, heard
stories.
The stories.
Yeah,
yeah. There you've heard go the stories.
It's a wonder I'm alive.
Yes, based on all the stories you've told us, yes.
That's not much of an exaggeration.
Now, I don't have stories that involve mobsters and like pimps and all this stuff. Every one of your stories involves something like that.
Getting
it is a marvel. You're
getting
alive.
Chased by gangs,
right.
And
you have good stories to tell.
Moving
that's
to why, a Caribbean
that's why
island.
Get along, Freddie. I grew up in Everett, and you know, so I can relate a little bit more to the hard scrabble life that you grew up with.
I don't think you had as many rubs with bad people as he did.
In the Dennis Yarmuth ride.
Yeah, it's weird. You're this pampered tennis-playing Cape product who ended up with pimps and mobsters.
There's a lot of bad people on the Cape.
That's generally, if you follow money, there's a lot of bad people.
I just wish Every once in a while, we get an email that wants the cameras on. I wish this was one of those days that the camera was on Fred, because you have to see some of the facial expressions he's making.
Connor,
a lot of bad people on the Cape.
Connor in New Hampshire had a couple of quick questions regarding the draft. First, what do you think of Quentin Patton? I've seen him associated with the Patriots in some mock drafts. I hear he has great hands, can create separation. I also saw that he can really up his game against good opponents. We are looking to score points in the playoffs, and I think he could really help. And finally, what players would you guys re-sign if the Patriots picked them? I don't know. What does that mean? What players would make you guys resign?
Resign.
Oh. what
now, did he spell it right or not?
No, that's my problem. Well, re-sign has to have the
a dash.
Re-sign is the
hyphen. So it's resign.
Yeah.
You read it wrong.
Yes, I did. So what players would make you guys resign if the Patriots pick them?
Kyle Long.
I don't care. An offensive lineman in general would make me sick, but it wouldn't make me want to resign.
No.
I hate nepotism and living off your name. And Kyle Long's done nothing to be a late first-round pick. And that's where he is in the latest mocks.
Yeah. In this draft, though, there's so little difference, it seems. You know, I'm not an expert, but that's what everybody's saying. You know, I can't see anybody giving me that
no
much.
No one's saying you're an expert.
No, but I can't see anybody giving me that much of a visceral reaction that I would be so upset. You know, who knows? Kyle Long,
you wouldn't be mad if a guy who started four games at guard in major college football was drafted.
I would be upset if they drafted an offensive lineman just because of my preference.
No, but
to
that's
not
the same as like Barrett Jones. You were an All-American at two positions in the SEC. This other guy couldn't start for a team in the Pac-12 and is living off his family name. That's all he's doing. That doesn't bother you?
But do you really think that...
That doesn't bother you.
He wants
answers.
Answer
the damn question. I want the truth.
The way you explain it, it would bother me. I'm not sure the way you're explaining it is
fact.
The entire truth. But do you really think that...
How many games did he start at tackle at Oregon?
I'm not...
Zero is the answer. How many games did he start overall at Oregon? Four is the answer. He played in 11 or 12, so he wasn't hurt. He wasn't the best man for the job there. And now suddenly he's the best man to be drafted in late in the first round?
Andy...
He's a great athlete. He throws a 96-mile-an-hour fastball.
We can't have a conversation if we can't talk back and forth.
Well, you won't answer the damn questions.
I'm trying to.
Paul needs more information.
What I'm saying is, if
I gave you his resume,
I know what his resume is. But if you're telling me that NFL scouts, legitimate teams, their scouting departments are thinking that he's a borderline late first, early second round pick, is that about accurate?
It seems to be.
And he doesn't have anywhere near the ability, and the only reason why they're doing that is because he's a long?
So Chip Kelly's a moron. He doesn't play his best players.
But
because he's now in charge of one of those NFL teams.
I'm not talking about that, but is there a possibility,
no,
however slight,
that there was
a guy that was better than him, and then he got
sure.
banged up or whatever?
So he wasn't good enough to play. He was good enough to play, but not to start and not to play a lot.
Seriously, if we can't have a conversation, go back and forth.
And like exceed
expectations. You're right. He's Matt Cassel. I'm sorry. He's Matt Cassel. Let's take him in the first round.
No, what I'm saying is if the NFL scouts deem him talented enough, I don't think the
only... So they're right, like Jamarcus Russell.
I don't think the only reason would be his name.
And Vernon Golston.
I just can't imagine
that. He was good enough to be the number six pick. They make mistakes for a lot of reasons.
And sometimes they're right.
But you didn't think that those guys, you didn't think that Vernon Golston, you wouldn't have resigned if the Patriots took him.
No, I love Vernon.
You liked him just like I did.
So I was wrong. I screwed up.
Okay. But all I'm saying is maybe he is wildly overrated. Kyle Long.
Don't you find it hard to believe?
Yes,
that he's so athletically gifted and the perfect NFL offensive lineman, and yet Oregon had five guys that were better than him.
I only wish
five
that he played
guys.
A position that I cared about evaluating, and I would be able to really weigh in here.
Maybe in that unique Oregon system, he wasn't as suitable as the guy before
That's
him,
a good
but
point,
in the NFL,
Fred.
He projects to fit right in.
So again, Chip Kelly's a moron. He brought a guy aboard who didn't fit his system.
Well, so... The NFL draft scouts can make mistakes with Jamarcus Russell, but Chip Kelly is God, and he didn't make any mistakes in recruiting. He never brought in a guy who wasn't perfect for his system.
Wait, are you telling me that he's so good he's going to play in the NFL? In any system in the NFL?
I'm not telling
you
why.
You're grasping for straws here.
No, I'm not
it's
telling
you why.
It's a joke
that this guy is going to be a first-round pick.
You keep fixating on why
Four
he
games.
Didn't play at Oregon. I have
Four
no
games.
Idea why he didn't play at Oregon.
Because he wasn't
Fred
good
brought
enough.
Up something that I think is a reasonable possibility that, you know...
So what the selling point on Kyle Long is his immense athleticism, but
I
he wasn't athletic
know,
enough
Andy.
To play
I don't
offensive
know the
line
whole story
in a high-speed,
of
up-tempo offense that fixates on athleticism.
And by the way, I am no way advocating
Why do you
that
love
a team
Kyle
should take
Long?
Him. I don't. Yeah, I've Long, never, even, I've never even seen the guy play. I don't watch the offensive line, so I'm telling you.
Well, you wouldn't have had much chance to watch him because he doesn't play.
But
you've seen his career,
not
playing.
I just find it hard to believe that all the people that put these things together. Now, listen, if he gets taken in the fifth round, that'll be your answer. The
well,
NFL
if he gets
scouts,
taken in the fifth round, that's where he should go.
That's what I'm saying. The NFL scouts.
But Nolan Naraki's God, right? He's the smartest of these media types out there.
I thought you were talking about NFL scouts.
Wait, what?
I thought you were talking about actual scouts on a team.
I have no idea what scouts. I have no idea what scouts.
So you really don't know.
Fred, we
no
don't
idea.
Know where he's going to get taken. The draft
hasn't
happened
yet. We don't
know
where any of these guys are going to get taken.
We don't know what NFL draft scouts think
the
until general, the draft
Mel Kiper or Todd McShay has him late
no,
in the first round.
Sometimes
Nolan
Naraki. Hear what scouts think.
No, we don't.
Yes, we do.
We don't know where the NFL teams are going to take all the picks until they make them.
We hear what guys are projected as.
We
yes.
don't. Maybe you do.
They're projected by people like Nolan Naraki.
I've never
NFL
heard
draft scout,
an actual scout
our lads,
and no, put it up on ESPN.
Mel Kiper, Todd McShay, that's what we hear where they're projected
I've heard
to go.
Interviews with GMs and scouts.
And they don't tell you where a guy's going to go.
Where they project, you know, this guy looks like a first-round talent. Absolutely. You hear that all the time.
Well, yeah, and it's usually about a guy who's going to go in the top
Number
five.
One.
Bill Belichick was very open and said Vernon Davis was an immense talent.
When we know that a guy is not going to be there
Thanks,
beyond,
Bill.
You know,
He's
three,
go in the
four,
top
five,
five
picks, that's when they'll talk.
But no GM is coming out and saying, I think Kyle Long. Late first round pick.
Nick Caserio mentioned one player the other day, Matt Elam, and he didn't say anything at all about where he was projected to go.
Well, a lot of times
teams don't do that.
They're unnamed sources in guys' columns, and it's people from teams.
Maybe. And it's not necessarily people who make decisions.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of people in teams that write scouting reports and read scouting reports and all that that have no part in the decision-making process at the end.
I think that you're –
I hate Kyle Long.
I think you're being a little overdramatic.
And he was very nice at the combine.
If you're
by the
basing
way.
All this drama on
very nice.
On one guy's projection, I think you're being a little
It's
dramatic.
Not one guy's projection. He is projected by all of the draft people to be a fringe first round, early second round kind of guy, right?
Okay. Yes.
That's what I mean.
Mel
NFL Kiper draft
or
scout,
McShay,
Mel Kiper,
one of
Todd
them.
McShay.
He has him as the 36th best player I just looked, whatever it is. He's
so
an early
that's
second,
an early
late
second
first.
Round pick. Now,
after four
listen,
games at the FBS level.
He may end up getting
He did play JUCO, too, just so I
he
know
He may
that.
End up being a fifth-round pick. We don't know where he's going to go. All I'm saying is if everybody agreed with that, I'm not sure it would be wrong. We'd have to find out. Like,
well, I'll let you know in 3 years.
Yeah, listen, I'm not a Kyle Long apologist.
So if everybody agrees with it, it's right?
I just – no, what I'm saying is I find it
– Robert Gallery was the greatest offensive lineman ever until he sucked.
What I disagree with you about is that people would pick him because of his last name.
Why are they doing it? They're certainly not doing it based on his
it would be
playing
a
ability.
It would be a misevaluation if they're doing it. I don't think
so
they're doing it because of his.
So he's such a gifted athlete that they're going to draft him, but he wasn't gifted enough to play at Oregon.
But does it make any sense to you that teams would draft a guy that they're looking at him and say, geez, he didn't
play.
Who would
put their job on the
he
line?
He doesn't have this. He doesn't have that. But his last name is Long, and it worked out all right, with Howie.
Who would risk
and
their
Chris
job?
Is okay.
And Chris.
And Chris is okay, so we'll take him?
He rode the name, too.
Okay. But that's a big risk. That's a big risk to your credibility to do that.
So now you think that
but Chris played at Virginia. And was
no, he was a good player. I just don't think he. I mean, he was a high pick.
He was a high pick.
He was
yeah,
a second pick,
yeah.
right? No, third pick.
A little higher than he should have.
Maybe, but I mean, at least he played. It's not like I'm saying
compared to this guy.
Yeah,
Chris Long comes out as a 5-time Heisman winner. I mean, this guy's done nothing.
He's done nothing.
He's a great athlete. That I am not going to give up. You went to FSU. You threw 96 mile an hour. You drank your way out of that school, and you rebuilt your way up the ladder playing junior college football, all that. Give you credit for all that. You're clearly athletic. But I'm sorry. You didn't play major college football for more than 4 games, and yet you're a first-round pick.
I have a feeling that people are going to agree with you, and he's not going to be a first-round pick.
I hope not. Yeah. Well, I mean, to me, he's like...
No one really thinks he's going to be a first-round pick.
What?
No one really thinks he's going to be a first-round pick.
The mock drafts do.
I thought you just said 36.
No, that's where he has him ranked overall. The mock drafts that came out today, either McShay or Kiper has him at like 28. Or 29. No, not 29. Yes. God, not 29.
Imagine if we picked him.
Then you would resign.
You would resign.
You'd have to resign.
There you go.
We're back full circle.
Yeah.
But you don't really have to leave. Like, Paul resigned 15 years ago.
No, I'm going to make it so that you do have to
This
leave.
Is like wrestling resign, right?
You can leave for, you can leave for the weekend.
Well,
like
that's
you did
what I said. I said last week, I am no longer doing that because I am in a position where I got, you know, back in 2001, I'm pretty sure I could have got my job back at the Herald. I don't think that ship has sailed.
Alex, Fred, are you hearing anything about the Globe?
What about it?
Who's going to replace Greg Bedad?
Yeah, I did hear a name.
Okay,
you probably shouldn't say that.
Yeah. No, it was in publicly written.
Oh, okay.
I think it was maybe on Bruce Media. He mentioned a name.
Field Yates?
No, it wasn't a local guy.
Oh.
Somebody that covered...
So that's great. We have another out-of-towner to come in and tell us how we're supposed to be
doing
our work.
Somebody from Miami. He's been covering the Dolphins for 4 years.
Ben Volen?
Yeah, that's the name.
He's been in here.
Ben's a good guy.
That's the name he mentioned.
And I didn't read Bruce Media. I didn't know that. But he's a nice guy. He's helped Andy and I out with the pregame.
No. Because you're the kingmaker.
Nope.
His recommendation doesn't go so far anymore.
Wrecked him. Damn near killed him. Yeah. No, I'm not making any more predictions. And I'm not the kingmaker for myself, certainly.
Alex from Philly says, I think that outside of our terrible division, we have a pretty tough schedule. The Atlanta, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Denver, and Houston games are going to be our toughest and are all losable. And I'll throw the Saints in that conversation, too.
It's nice of you to throw them in there.
Yeah. Getting 10 to 12 wins is going to be a tough road this season. Do you guys agree? And how many wins do you guys see? We can exclude Fred, since I know he sees us barely getting to 16-0. Yeah,
10 is not going to be a stretch, but 12 I think will be a little tougher.
Also, glad to have Revis out of the division and seeing the Jets sink even further into obscurity. Lastly, my perfect draft. First round, wide receiver Justin Hunter. Second round, cornerback Jamar Taylor. Third round, defensive end Tank Carradine. What do
I'll
you
take
guys
it.
Think?
What was
sure.
it again?
Hunter.
I don't love any of them, but
Carradine we like.
Carradine I like. Who was the other one? Jamar Taylor?
Jamar Taylor.
I do like Jamar Taylor. I'd be happy with that draft. I agree with Andy.
Because other than Williams, I'm really like, just take a receiver and hope he's good.
Things I woke up thinking this morning I might get in an argument about did not include Kyle Long.
That sounds like a column. Things I woke up this morning thinking I'll get into an argument about. I like that.
Who better to write that than
right.
me?
I think we got something there. Paul, blog it. Let's see. Okay, that's something.
Well,
speaking of blogging, is there any way to get that stuff out of your calendar? Stuff that you don't want in there?
What are you talking about?
You know when people put things in your calendar and they pop up and you get all those reminders and stuff? Can you eliminate that stuff?
I think
so. You guys are going to have to show me that.
I didn't say I know how to do it. What's going on over there, Fred?
Fred's disoriented.
No, I'm just looking through emails. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address, 508-298-0398.
I can't believe the show's almost over.
It's the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's go to Chester in Portland, Oregon. Hey, Chester.
Hey, guys. Man, I'll tell you, I woke up yesterday, and I haven't been so happy to see a new week in my life ever, you know. Andy, again, just to chime in with the family, I'm glad your family's all right. I'm glad you're all right. And
thank you.
Fantastic Tuesday show, by the way. I caught it on the podcast just to try to get my mind off of things, and at that point I realized there is no getting your mind off of things, and, you know, just great to see the family kind of joining up on that. But, you know, I shift gears to Thursday, you know, hoping to hear a good joke, and what do I get? I get Kyle Arrington. Touche, guys. Good job on that one. But speaking of jokes, anyway. You know, guys,
poor Kyle. He's a nice man. Poor I know you have opinions based on his coverage ability, and that's fair. That's part of what we're all in this for. He is a very nice man.
Yeah. I agree. You know,
Chester, not buying.
It's nice. I'm not buying it until I see some action on the field. But, you know, it was nice to hear what he's about as a person. You know, it got my mind working on that for that Razi versus Beckett debate, you know, And I think, you know, that really boils down to what we see in the draft. I wanted to ask you guys just quickly, you know, as far as that first round goes, a lot of these mocks are seeing corner. To me, that opens up questions as to what we're going to get with Razi. And, you know, I think wide receiver like the majority here, but I wanted to bend your ear to think if there's some accuracy there if we see corner or if we do attack this wide receiver situation, which we all have our eyes on. But anyway, not to shift gears back to last week, but I just wanted to get my thoughts in on that. You guys. Take it easy. Thanks for everything, right?
All right,
thanks,
Chester. Thank you.
The wide receiver thing is what we talked about. There's a bunch of them. If you like one, take him.
I think they have to.
Well, but they're going to take a receiver.
At some point, they've got to develop a young receiver.
But you don't necessarily have to take him in the first round. You can
take him in the second.
That group of 8, 10, 12 guys.
Second round.
That's where I sort of targeting. But if they have a guy, if they think, if you know, one or two receivers go before them, and there's that guy, and they say, we got to get him. He might not be there.
I think
take him. I want you to be aggressive and take him if you think your guy is still there.
I think they trade down, and in the second round, they use that pick to get the wide receiver they want.
Now, are you for or against multiple receivers picked?
No, I'm not against it. Against it.
I'm not necessarily either. It's tough with – now, if they trade down
Abraham,
and add a pick
Abraham
or
will be in. I'm not against
that it. That is a weight that would be off my shoulders if I were drafting. And they know that. I mean, if they have this deal in place that you think they do, then, yes, it's less likely that they have to take a pass rusher. I wish I was as confident as you.
But do you look at it at all the way we look at wide receiver, that it doesn't really matter what you have, you still need a young one of those?
Wait, what?
With defensive end. Like you're saying, it would definitely, you know, that would lessen if Abraham
was
there.
But you have that in Jones.
No,
you'd like one on the other side.
But you don't have enough.
Yeah.
Right. I'm kind of with Fred, though. You have at least one. You can build a cornerstone. You can supplement with every, you know, a couple times with John Abraham.
I just don't think that they can have anything offensively if they don't get a receiver in here.
It's not that I don't think they can have anything. It's what I said earlier. All your known quantities are gone. You have no known quantity. Not that the guy you add is a known quantity.
I know.
I just
don't worry as much about the offense in general as I do the defense.
Well, I don't really either, but the problem is I don't think that even if I draft a guy, it's unlikely he's going to be the difference between the defense sucking and being good. Offensively, I have a core of an offensive line. I have Brady. I have the tight ends. I want to maintain the fact that I think I can outscore most people. And if I don't have that outside guy, and I feel like I'm lacking weapons at receiver, now I'm tearing down my offense, and if my defense isn't better, now I just suck. Now I'm not good enough on either side of the ball. Because the one thing you've known about this team is they're going to score points. They're going to put 30 on the board for the most part, aside from the postseason. Paul, I know, Brady, all that, he stinks in the postseason. But for the most part, they're going to put a lot of points on the board, right? Well, if you lose those points, what happens? Now you're just a jag team and a fight for its life every week.
No, I just don't see this drop-off offensively being so precipitous. I don't see it happening. I don't see you going from 30-plus points to, like, 20.
Oh, I do.
Really?
I think you
could. Two-touchdown difference?
I think you could.
And I know we've been around the block, you and I, Andy, but everything you're saying could happen.
Right.
It could happen. But it probably isn't going to happen, right? Wouldn't you believe that?
Well, the one certainty I have is Rob Gronkowski. If he's on the field, he's great.
Productive.
He's elite. He's unstoppable. I don't care if you don't have your outside threat. He's going to get his. But Hernandez, you know, I'm concerned. Now I have more concerns. He's got this injury that's going to keep him out of off-season stuff. So, you know that idea I had of him working out with Brady and fixing those hands that sucked last year? Well, that's kind of gone down the pooper.
By the way, I read something over the weekend. 4 months?
Oh, yeah.
They're expecting him to be rehabbing?
Yeah.
So,
oh, really?
That's
not good, huh?
So
you're doing a little math on that hand over there. That's not good.
Gets him back for September.
Yeah. But just to back up what Andy said, well, I don't know 4 months from when. I'm just saying.
Yeah. If you do it 4 months from now, though, that's the end of
October. But to Andy's point, that eliminates,
August.
You know, this sort of rapport with Brady.
Year four jump?
Yeah.
For Hernandez?
Yeah.
Why do you have to take everything into be a shot at somebody?
No, he needs a jump. I'm sorry. And now Fred doesn't agree with me. I thought he was terrible last year. When healthy, when not healthy, the whole year. I thought it was an embarrassment.
His offseason has all but been eliminated.
That's not good.
You know, he'll probably, you know, I think Mike Reese wrote something about this over the weekend. I wouldn't be surprised to see him start camp on PUP.
Right.
Camp, not the season before anybody
panics.
Why
aren't these guys having this surgery as soon as the season's over?
Would you want to?
Well, I mean.
Well, we don't know when he had the surgery, do we? We just know he had surgery. He may have had the surgery right after the season ended.
Okay, well then 4 months may not be September.
Right.
Maybe. No. Can you listen instead of being like reactionary?
Tick, tick,
open. I'm not reactionary.
When does camp open?
Camp opens July. The end of July.
Not September.
I understand.
But the math he did on his little fat fingers was September.
Was from now.
Yeah, but we don't know when exactly he had surgery.
Yeah.
The day he
Camp's
had surgery.
Overrated.
Matter of fact, I believe he's, you know, just I believe he's involved with a camp.
You're right.
Camp is
overrated because he was the best player in camp last year, and I thought he was going to have a dominant year, and he snuck.
Yeah, I believe he's involved with a youth camp as well. So I don't think that like he's going to be like bedridden, you know, throughout the summer.
and then hopefully he can make it back for September. I don't think his season is in jeopardy. But Andy's point is we sort of banked on him working a lot with Tom. I think that's out at this point. We know he's not going to be at OTAs, and we know he's not going to be at minicamp, according to the reports.
Didn't he as well? You know, didn't he move out to do this?
Well,
so
that's
when
why,
did that change?
You know, Andy and I talked yesterday.
When did all these plans change?
Well, it's clearly
it's a good question, though.
How did that guy, the injury, you know, the injury tweeter guy, injury expert, there's like that
oh,
guy.
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
He was talking about how it's like a long-term thing. So maybe this
it
was
could
sort
be
of
a long-term thing, but it's not going to be a big problem in the short term.
Right. But yeah.
To which huh?
maybe he
went,
knew
huh?
he had an issue, but didn't know
well,
that he needed
yeah,
surgery.
It's one of those things where you know he started working out.
Well,
again,
that's what
like,
I wonder.
You know what?
And
right.
Andy and I talked yesterday
this.
after the Nick Caserio press conference, and we sort of did what we always do, and you know, snickering at everybody, and you know, Andy.
No, you did that during the press conference when someone asked, "Could Nick? Could you give us your list of needs?
Your top three
and
needs?"
And you went,
"Your top,
giggled,
your top
like
three
a
needs."
Boy.
There was a question that Andy said, "I can't believe no one asked about Abraham," and I said, you know, even something about, you know, you're not going to get specific injury information, but couldn't you ask a question about Hernandez saying the shoulder surgery seemed to, you know, crop up. Was that something that he finished last season and needed the surgery, or did he suffer some sort of setback or problem during his workouts? Because he goes out to California and all this. I don't know. I mean, maybe he wouldn't have gotten any kind of answer at all, but to me, there was some questions to be asked about the overall personnel that weren't. And I wonder if maybe, you know, when they get Bill after
they
the
will.
Draft, maybe some of those questions get asked.
They will. Because everybody assumes that Nick is really just the personnel manager
well,
of the information.
That's what I assume.
So he doesn't get to decide, oh, we got to draft a tight end now because Hernandez is hurt or whatever. But you're not concerned at all with all these unknowns, all these injury-prone unknowns.
I am concerned about injuries, but you know, I think they'll be all right.
I just think they'll find out. I'll find. I think. I just
if
think
you're
an optimist.
End every
eternal optimist.
I really think
I
that
think
if,
they'll be fine.
I really think that if Gronkowski and Hernandez were, you know, if the outlook wasn't good, you'd be seeing a lot more movement. You'd be seeing
like what?
Like what?
Personnel movement.
Like what?
Adding tight ends, you mean?
Yeah.
Like last offseason?
Yeah.
But
they have plenty
of
tight ends.
How many more can they have?
And you can't afford to add replacements of that level.
And not necessarily tight ends. You'd be seeing more movement on the offense. Then you really would see them trying to get a wide receiver. And
But you don't think that trying to get Emmanuel Sanders for a third-round pick was sort of
maybe that offer would have been higher.
But you don't think that was sort of kind of a desperate move?
No, not desperate at all.
You were willing to give up a third-round pick for a guy who had a career-high 40 catches?
Not desperate at all.
Okay. I'm with Andy on this part of it. I think that things will work out because I think that they
Fred
play,
said they will.
Well, I think they have seven gimmies right off the top of my head. The six division games and Cleveland. You know, so, like, I look at, like, 30-plus points in those games. That's how I look at it. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm whistling past the graveyard. I might be guilty of that. Wouldn't be the first time that I just assume something that's not going to happen. But to not look at what they're doing in the offseason and say that like they would have done more, like they've tried to do stuff. They have done other things. I'm not sure where you're seeing it. I don't think that Emmanuel Sanders thing was standard procedure for the Patriots to give up a third-round pick for a guy who had a career high of 44 catches.
I don't think
that's something that they normally do.
That wasn't desperation. Ross from Glasgow, men of PFW, for you are all men during draft week. I have not been able to tune in from the start, but I had to email in for one reason. The draft shows are what got me to start listening. It's what led me to subscribing to the paper and then on to Patriots football daily. These are the best shows of the year.
I agree.
It's when Mr. Draft abuses fat kids. From the Make a Wish Foundation. It's when Mrs. Draft gets to bitch when Bill Belichick finally taking a pass rusher, but not the one he loves. It's when Grandpa Draft gets to resign.
Absolutely.
And when F-bomb Freddy earns his nickname. These shows are gold, but last year
I felt you got
sidetracked responding to so-called fans moaning about the picks being announced ahead of the commissioner. Please ignore all these DBs. The
we
draft
will.
Shows. Is the draft show, and if they don't like it, then they can sod off and
Excellent.
Listen to the other DBs like Mike Mayock. Rant over. Let the fun of the draft day PFW begin.
Why do I have a feeling Ian Attaboy. Is say
was that Ross?
Like,
yep, Ross in Glasgow. Glasgow.
Attaboy, Ross.
Yeah. You know. The next pick, his first name rhymes with bar. Star. Instead of saying with a picket.
A lot more emails, but we don't only
rhymes
have time for one
Bulu
more.
Tele.
Cliff is in Birmingham, Alabama. He says, I've got to take Andy to task.
Oh, boy.
He said Dee Milliner was not athletic enough and not elite. If a 4.3 40 and being the best player
doesn't
on the
play to that speed.
If a 4.3 40 and being the best player on the best defense, on the best team, in the best conference doesn't make you elite, I don't know what does. Remember, when you guys were talking about the Ravens and Adalys Thomas and asking who make it work, well, I'll tell you, Alabama had no outside pass rush. The strong safety in the other corner were weak in coverage. Milliner made it work. He was the key. The Alabama D was in transition, and a lot of guys were just solid, not stiffs like Paul's man Kyle Long. He is athletic and elite.
Kyle Long.
Yeah, I don't believe he's athletic. And he's athletic. I'm not saying he's – I mean – you played at Alabama. You're a great athlete, but is he Patrick Peterson? Is he at that high first round, top 10 athlete? And one of my notes, the first thing I said, he doesn't play to a 4.35 40, which he ran. He does not play to that. You do not say, wow, that guy has elite speed when you watch him play.
Yeah, I heard a guy.
He recovers well, so he uses that speed to some degree. But my concern, we've talked about, maybe it was the podcast, why is he recovering so much? Why is there so many guys behind him? Why does he need to do the Tyrone pull and get his hand in late? Why doesn't he blanket him? Right? And that's my question. Is he truly elite? There's no doubt he's a competitive NFL caliber cornerback. And I do. They did lose a lot of talent last year, so yep. That's part of it. But
he's a good player. I think he's going to be a solid NFL corner. I don't – and I heard a guy this morning talk. I don't think he's going to be an elite guy like Revis or, you know, the really top-level ones. But Patrick Peterson – yeah, I could see. I'm a little bit higher on Milliner than Andy.
And I didn't love Patrick Peterson, but Patrick Peterson as an athlete,
he's
a returner.
Milliner is not as athletic as Peterson.
All right, well, that'll be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. Remember, no regular show on Thursday, but we'll be on at 8 o'clock and through the whole first round.
Ugh.
Always a lot of fun on the PFW Progress live draft show. We'll see you then.
Peace out.
Here comes the sun, here comes the sun, I say, it's all right. Little darling, it's been a long
time. That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.